New York Comic Con 2009 is almost here. Stop on by the Jacob Javits Center February 6th through 8th and experience the East Coast's biggest and most exciting pop culture convention. The show floor plays host to the latest and greatest in comics, graphic novels, anime, manga, video games, toys, movies, and television. New York Comic Con is the second largest pop culture convention in America and the only one that takes place in the comic book, publishing, media, and licensing capital of the world. Special guests for New York Comic Con 2009 include Adam and Andy Kubert, Brian Michael Bendis, Bruce Timm, Carmine Infantino, Jeff Johns, George Perez, Joss Whedon, Mike Diodato Jr., David Finch, Jim Lee, Matt Fraction, Neil Adams, and more. And don't forget, Sunday, February 8th is Kids Day. All kids 12 and under with proof of age will get in for free. So bring the entire family to this year's New York Comic Con. For more information, visit mycomiccon.com or follow the link on our website, and we will most certainly see you there.
Comic Timing is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast
Network, bitch.
Welcome to episode 81 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levitsy, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's a little belated, but here we are with our wrap-up of 2008, Marvel style. Jason Wood, The Marvelous Patrick, Sean Pryor, Brandon Christopher, Raph Suhu, Ian Levenstein, and Toto 2 join in on this discussion, and my word, do we have a lot to say. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 81 of Comic Timing. Past the 80 mark, finally. And, you know, to celebrate, we're joined this episode by the co-host, Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent? Oh, yeah, he's not here. I forgot. So, you know, to
he's, hey, Brent, it's good to hear from you. Oh, man.
He's too busy watching his BCS. Yeah, I know. He's too busy watching his BCS right now to give a shit about this show. But on the bright side, he sent an audio comment. After we're all done talking, we'll listen to that. We'll see what he had to say. And we'll dissect it royally. So let me go down the list here. This is a huge panel. It's going to get a little bit smaller in about 40 minutes because Sean can only stay here for a little bit. So I'll introduce him first. Mr. PKD Media himself, back for the second episode in a row, technically, even though I recorded one in between. So two out of three. Sean Pryor. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Ian, man? Thanks for having me on the show again.
Good to have you back, man. Good to have you back. And to make sure that for the first time, Sean is not the only black man on this call, we have, returning to Comic Timing, Mr. Megacon, Brandon Christopher. Brandon!
Finally, Brandon has returned to Comic Timing.
Just Bill is going to sue your ass. Hi, Brandon.
Hello, everyone.
So now that the holidays are over, you can talk to people again.
Oh, yeah. What, holidays? What? Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's when working at Toys R Us is a bad thing. Other returning guest, other ethnicity, other minority. The Geeks Unite Network is starting up in 09, and he swears it's going to be around for more than one episode. Raph Suhu, Raph.
I swore to God and I swore to me that it'd be around, so I have to do it.
That is the one and only time he's going to say this entire episode. I swear to you, swear to me.
Well, also, I'm not saying that other four-word magical thing that everyone loves so much. How long has it been? It's been a good 6 months.
Yes.
Right?
Dude, I'll okay. Disconnect. The first time you say it, I'm disconnecting.
Moving down the list. Moving down the list of people. He thinks Deadpool is more important than the Pope. It is Jason Wood.
What's up, y'all? Hey. Good to be back. It's been a long time.
Yeah, man. Since our celebratory episode, it's been a while.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I hope Vince ain't gonna sue me for the Jason Wood.
he'll probably smack you at Super Show or some or New York Con maybe.
Well, he does a really good job of adding like four more O's to your name.
He really does. Yes.
Coming, Jason. Yes. Well, welcome back, Jason. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
All right. And the one Comic Timing virgin of the bunch.
Be gentle.
I will try my best. I will try my best, Patrick.
Didn't even know I had a hole there.
Whoa! Look out, man. We were going to record.
Didn't have a clean tag on it, did it?
Yeah, right. Fuck that. We got Patrick, the Marvelous One himself. What website should I say you're from? Because I know you're not doing MarvelousPatrick.com anymore, right?
I'm going to say FreaksAndSqueaks.com these days.
FreaksAndSqueaks.com, Patrick himself. One of the contestants for the Geekspeak Co-Host Challenge, which I swear to you will actually wrap up in about a week when Patrick and I can actually record that. But Patrick, welcome to Comic Timing nonetheless.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here with such esteemed and wizened fellows.
Except for Raph.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So I needed about four people to fill in for Brent not being here. So this is going to be probably the most best episode of Comic Timing ever. That's yep. What I'm thinking. And this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. With a brand new month comes some brand new savings over at Heroes Corner and plenty of 50 and 75% off books to be found in the specials. So go ahead and check that out. But the monthly special, the February special at Heroes Corner is the Wolverine Bundle Pack, and this is in celebration of the Wolverine movie coming out in April. We've got Wolverine Weapon X number 1, Wolverine Weapon X Files, Rampaging Wolverine number 1, Wolverine Anniversary, and X-Men Origins Wolverine number 1, all bundled together into a bundle pack. You're only going to pay $9 for books that would regularly cost $20.95 combined. Excellent, excellent special to celebrate the upcoming Wolverine movie at Heroes Corner this month. And the other special, the trade special, is still in effect. And that is, you buy yourself three trades and you will get an additional 5% off on the combined value of those three trades. Go ahead and check that out when you get the chance. And the Comic Timing picks of the month, we have ourselves Flash Rebirth number 1, 75% off on Heroes Corner. This one is the big return of Barry Allen and possibly the rest of the Flash family. We're just going to have to wait and find out there. Written by Jeff Johns with art by Ethan Van Sciver, 75% off on Heroes Corner. Regular price of $3.99, only $1 on Heroes Corner. And we've got ourselves the Captain America Anniversary Special for our Marvel pick. James Robinson is the writer with pencils by Marcos Martin, and this one is 50% off on Heroes Corner, only $2, regular price of $3.99. And finally, a Warren Ellis book, this one, Ignition City, number 1 of 5. This one's been well anticipated. A bunch of people have been waiting for this to come out, and now you can get it on Heroes Corner for only $2, regular price of $3.99. Warren Ellis is the writer with Gianluca Pagliani, I believe, on art. And the Comic Timing code for the month is CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS. Get yourself an additional 5% off on your first order, only your first order, on heroescorner.com. So if you're a first-time user of the site, go ahead and use that promo code and you'll get 5% off on your order. So check this out. Best damn customer service around, and they continue to be the best damn customer service around with their brand new website in 2009, heroescorner.com. 2008 year in review. It's extreme to the extreme. 2008 year in review Marvel. That's what we're doing this episode, because we seem to do that every year to wrap up the year. So this is what I posted on the forums, and I will read it right now. As we did in 2006 and 2007, Comic Timing reviews the year of 2008 and how it did for Marvel. How satisfied were you with Secret Invasion and its finale? What was your breakout title of 2008? We already know Wood's answer. What disappointed you the most out of Marvel? Give us your favorite writer/artist team of 2008 as well while you're at it. Who was your favorite Marvel character of 2008? We know Wood's answer. Any new title tickle your fancy? Are you satisfied with the rise and fall of Tony Stark? Also, please give us your favorite single issue and miniseries of 2008. Did the tie-ins for Secret Invasion live up to the title itself? And finally, what are you looking forward to the most in 2009 and its upcoming Dark Reign? Even though it's technically happening right now, but it's 2009, so what the hell? Let us know, and we will discuss it all on the show. So let's start things off nice and big, considering Secret Invasion is the thing we're going to probably talk about most on this episode, I have a feeling. So let's begin it with the ranter himself, Mr. Pryor.
What you're giving me a label already. I'm a ranter.
You are, man. What can I say? How satisfied were you with Secret Invasion and its finale? Go.
I'll put it to you like this, Ian.
Like this.
Secret Invasion is kind of boring to me. I read the first three issues and haven't read it since. I just continued to read the crossovers and found the crossovers to be very entertaining. And stuff like, you know, New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, and let's see, some stuff from The Initiative. The Black Panther stuff was actually pretty good. I guess, you know, I'm just one of those cats that honestly is just event fatigued. And you know, and I had a feeling in the back of my mind that eventually that Secret Invasion would spin off into something else, mm-hmm. into another event, which I had no problem with. But at the same time, it's one thing. I try not to go on a long tangent because I haven't finished Secret Invasion. I haven't finished Secret Invasion yet. I've just read all the crossovers and things of that nature. But
oh, Skrulls won. I'm going to spoil it for you. Skrulls won.
Oh, go on. No problem.
All the humans are gone.
And Rom the Space Knight returns. Although I was wanting Rom to come back. But anyway, but seriously, there's one thing to end a miniseries and then have that lead into another event, but there's one thing to also have a miniseries, close it properly, and have another event come from it. Mm-hmm. From what a lot of people have been saying is that Secret Invasion, the last issue, it ended, but it was so open-ended, it basically just written, new event coming, get ready for it.
Right.
It's coming, it's going to smack you in the ass, deal with it. And I don't like that feeling. Now, granted, it's wrong for me to say that because I haven't read it all the way through, but I really got bored after issue 3 of Secret Invasion, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed the crossovers more. Well, that's all I can really say.
Well, one thing that I'll add is that the last issue of Secret Invasion, when you do eventually read it, let me know, Sean, if it actually feels like half an issue of Secret Invasion and half an issue of Dark Reign, because that's what it felt like to me. Like, you can almost split it up down the middle, and okay. It's like a precursor to Dark Reign as much as it is to a wrap up of Secret Invasion.
Okay, so, I'll check it out because I'm going to finish reading it this weekend. Honestly, okay. You know, I am because I did not pay, you know, what I paid, whether it be from, you know, DCBS Heroes Corner or LCS. I didn't pay what I paid mm-hmm. just to have that sit in my box.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to get read.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah.
Well, good. Mr. Wood.
I'd say that I was mildly entertained, but ultimately disappointed.
Ooh.
Well, look, you know, I've been a Marvel guy for, you know, 25 plus years.
Yeah.
Although I think the last few years I've probably liked other companies' stuff more. Mm-hmm. But I've generally considered myself a Bendis fan. So I certainly thought this had the chance to be a fantastic event. Certainly he's been planning for this for years, as we know. So when a guy with Bendis's track record is planning something of this magnitude for years, I think it's fair for us to have fairly lofty expectations. Mm-hmm. And if I were to just look at this series as another event, a popcorn movie, if you will, I think it probably would be a little bit more entertaining or more fulfilling to me. But when I look at it as sort of Bendis's huge payoff after 4 or 5 years on the Avengers books, mm-hmm. I just don't see how it lived up to the hype, frankly. And I would say the first 6/7 of it were decent enough mm-hmm. For what they were. I thought Lionel Yu's art was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a fan of Yu, especially in that book he was inked by Mark Morales, and I think that made a huge difference versus his stuff in New Avengers. As Sean said, I thought some of the tie-ins were terrific. Deadpool was good. I thought the Black Panther stuff was terrific. I thought Captain Britain was a good tie-in. It was you know, it was off to its side, but it made some sense. I thought Incredible Hercules was very, very good. In fact, some of the stuff that happened in that book I think should have happened at least a page or two in the main book for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But to your point, Ian, the ending to me just was a total bust. You mentioned it seemed like a prologue to Dark Reign. I think it seemed like that because it was.
Right.
It reminded me of DC Universe Zero. It should have been a free or a 50-cent book that we got in our next you know, shipment in the mail to set up for the new status quo. You know, it basically was a rehash of stuff we didn't see happen. And it felt like we waited for 6 issues. It all happened in the matter of effectively a few hours. We kept waiting for something to happen. You know, how long is this going to take? And then in the last issue, we never get to see the payoff. So all in all, I'd have to give it a B minus. You know, it wasn't. It certainly fell flat to me at the end.
Well, it's funny you should mention DC Universe number zero, because one of the books that came out after Secret Invasion, Secret Invasion Dark Reign, was basically that sort of book, and they had the gall to charge $3.99 for it. You know, it was like half a story of every single thing that's going to be coming out in Dark Reign, with the the Agents of Atlas and the Skrull Kill crew and stuff like that. And yet they charge full price for it. Shouldn't this be the jumping on book? I mean, wouldn't you, if you were running Marvel Comics, want, I guess, maybe the jumping on book to be a little cheaper to have more of a reason to pick it up?
No.
No?
No way. No way. You know why?
Why?
Because everyone's going to buy that book and I want to make money.
Okay. But how do we know that everybody bought the book? Thank you for being very blunt on that one, Patrick, by the way.
I haven't been to a comic book store now in about 2 weeks, so or over the holidays, I haven't gotten there yet, and I plan to go tomorrow. But, there's going to be basically two people that are going to buy that, and that's going to be the people that would buy it no matter what, and it doesn't matter what it costs. So they could charge those people $8.99. They're going to buy it because they have to have it, or it's going to be people like you said. It's going to be the jumping on point. And they're going to buy it just out of curiosity. You're not going to get a casual person to probably buy it anyway. So why bother with a lower price point? Because the casual person, I mean, if I like, you know, these DC Universe Zero and stuff, like, you know, okay, it was cheap and whatnot. I still didn't buy it. I'm a casual buyer when it comes to things like that.
Right.
So it's even the price didn't entice me. But if I was a hardcore DC person, I would have bought it. Or if I was a person wanting to get interested in the DC events because I've read the press and stuff, I would have bought it and I would have paid whatever the price was.
I guess point well taken there. I was a lot happier with it, at least, than I was with DC Universe Zero. Who did I just cut off there?
It was Wood. I just wanted to say I understand Patrick's point, but I think there is something to be said for customer goodwill, especially when you're talking about a niche industry that has a few hundred thousand people that keep it afloat. Yes. So a lot of us pre-order our books, and we do that through solicits. So you could say it's buyer beware, but in this case, that solicit and anything related to Dark Reign were classified. So most of us that pre-order our books, which is a good chunk of the community, at least the forum / podcasting community, we had to buy that sight unseen. So intuitively, if I see a book that's tied to Dark Reign and it's $3.99 and I have a classified solicit, I think it's logical to assume that it's going to be an actual book with original content. So the fact that it wasn't and it was effectively a prologue book, which usually isn't that kind of price, I do think was a pretty egregious error on Marvel's part. So I have to respectfully disagree with you there. I think that was very bad in terms of engendering goodwill, some negative will towards loyal readers. But that being said, I'll still buy the other books because I'm too invested. But
well. That's not to belabor the point, but you just said, we buy from solicits a lot of the times. You know, we don't just go in and pick it up. But how many of you buy your books then either through DCBS or your advance buy at your LCS where they give you a discount if you pre-order? Because I know, like, my own local comic book store, if I say, if I do a pre-thing, if I, go through previews and pay up front before the books ever come out, they give me the same kind of discount like that DCBS would. So
sure.
And a lot more people are moving to that. So in that case, is it still really $3.99 people are paying?
Well, regardless, it's a $3.99 book that's discounted the same as any other $3.99 book discount. I wouldn't pay $3.99 for any book right now because to me, it's irrational behavior to do so when I can get it for 40% off online. But point being is, again, I know myself and a lot of other people, if we knew for a fact that there were only 8 original pages in that book, I just wouldn't have ordered it for $1, $2, or $4. It wouldn't have mattered. And normally I would know that through the solicit. But Marvel chose to, quote-unquote, classify the solicits, again, because, they didn't want to, quote, give up anything before the finale of Secret Invasion, which I understand. But again, in that rare instance, I think, that was a case where we got bait and switched. I mean, I think it's a very unique situation that wouldn't happen more than once or twice a year. So I don't want to belabor it either, but I just think in that specific example, it was bad form.
And they overclassified, I think. They definitely overclassified the solicitations a little bit, because there are a lot of books out now that I feel didn't really hinge nearly as much on the end of Secret Invasion that were classified until the end of Secret Invasion that really didn't have to be.
And because of that, and because of that classification, when they started doing all those classified solicits, to me that was a really big turnoff. I can understand if you classify one or two books, but when they had like a whole list of books they were classifying, for me that was a real big turnoff. And
well, not only that, yeah.
And ahead, it's okay, it's cool. I just was completely turned off by it, and I said, you know what, I'm not getting it.
And how is it really actually a solicit if they're not telling you anything? Really, it's just a list of merchandise that's going to be available at a certain date, but they're not telling you what the merchandise is beyond the title. I mean, so betters, they need to change the way solicitations are run.
Yeah, think about the word solicitation in and of itself. I mean, would you ever solicit anybody if you didn't know what they look like? I mean, thank you very much. That had to be said.
Was that like the blind guy and the prostitute or what? Yeah.
Well, she feels okay to me.
Let's see. I put my tongue in her mouth. One, two. Yeah, she's got a lot of teeth. Sure. Okay.
Yes. There's never, ever, ever going to be a clean episode of Comic Timing. That I can pretty much guarantee.
We can still hope.
Yes. Raph, while he's still here, how satisfied was he with Secret Invasion and its finale?
You mean Sucrit Invade Suction?
Sucrit Invade Suction. Wow, Raph. That's great.
It's Sucrit Invade Suction. I don't.
Just talk.
Anyway, I'm sort of in Wood's camp. I like the first seven issues a lot. The last one is arguably the worst ending to a comic to a big event that I've ever read. You're setting up your next event by doing it halfway into the finale of your first event. I mean, come on. That's the first thing that pissed me off. The second thing that pissed me off is that they did the ending. Oh no! They did the big fight in a past tense narrative, which means that the fight already happened, and we're just getting someone's recollection instead of getting the real thing. Someone's going, Thor really kicked the crap out of those Skrulls. We can't see it. You're telling us. Thank you. Really, that's necessary. And the third thing that really bothered me in Secret Invasion number 8 is that Joe Quesada sees worthy to spend the last two pages of the book in a cup of Joe to just justify how awesome Dark Reign is going to be.
Yeah.
And go, hey, by the way, when Bendis pitched Secret Invasion to me, I was looking forward to Dark Reign way more than Secret Invasion. So it's sort of like, so you're telling me that the event that you just did not excite you, but the next thing that's going to happen did. If it wasn't for the movies, I would question if Marvel... I mean, if this was his policy with every book, I would question if Marvel would be able to keep afloat, because that's sort of stupid.
Yeah, who sat down to watch the first Spider-Man movie thinking, man, Spider-Man 3 is going to be awesome?
Well, you know what?
Boy, we have been mistaken.
McGuire thought that.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, seriously... Halfway through, you're going to talk about how Norman Osborn took... Halfway through. I mean, that whole... Okay, there were two Dark Reign one-shots. There's one by Bendis and Maleev, and then there's the New Nation. The New Nation one's the one you guys are talking about. That's a gross, egregious ripoff of The Customer.
Yes.
But what I think they should have done is taken that back half of Secret Invasion 8, put it in... They should have just combined that with the other one shot, the Maleev Bendis one shot, and I think I would have been much happier.
Oh, yeah.
Show me Thor ripping through the Skrull Armada. Show me everything, you know, Cap and Iron Man fighting side by side for the first time in forever. Show me everything that's supposed to be a big climatic battle. Don't tell me. It really frustrated me.
Yeah.
And you know, I always come off as a little anti Marvel pro DC, and I hate that because I really like Marvel. But in this case, I really didn't like that ending. But I love the setup. I love all the side stories in New Avengers and Mighty Avengers. I love the Secret Invasion X-Men, Thor. I loved all of it. It really had me going. And I hadn't felt that good since, I would say, like Civil War. And I was even more excited during Secret Invasion than I was Civil War. And yet, I think this is a worse ending than Civil War. At least Civil War you know, I can understand why Cap would give up. I it makes sense. This is just, it makes sense, but it's
spoilers.
Oh, yes. And spoiler, Peter Parker revealed his identity at the end of Civil War.
Right.
Oh, God. No, wait.
Peter Parker's Spider-Man?
Yes, and Bruce Wayne is Batman, just so you know.
Oh my God.
Shut up.
Wait. Bruce Wayne is not Batman.
And Black Panther is a black man. Whoa.
What? I didn't want to name myself Black Panther.
Wait a minute. Just because he's from an African jungle does not make him a black man. What are you talking about, Sean?
You know, and through all this, Wood is silent.
Yeah, I know. Because he's just thinking to himself, wow, and I thought 11 comics was bad.
That's why they're never going to have me on the show. They're never going to have me on.
Well, I think we stroked Wood out.
Raph. Let me make one comment to you, Raph, about the whole lead up to Secret Invasion, because I totally agree with you, because this is the first time I've ever picked up two titles, and I'm talking about New Avengers and Mighty Avengers, and continued to pick it up when the last 8 issues did not have the New Avengers or the Mighty Avengers in them.
Right? It was great, though.
Yes.
I mean, because you're getting into every little nuance of the Marvel Universe, and I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just now it means nothing. Because
yeah.
You know what? Secret Invasion meant nothing. The Skrull. These are dangerous aliens. I mean, if we could do that with all the world's problems, we'd have like total world. Bin Laden, we would have found him in like 5 seconds. The way in the Marvel Universe, you could find him in 5 seconds and have someone tell you about it later when they're trying to take over the world with that horrible.
They did already.
Hi, I'm Norman Osborn, and I support this message. All right, let's move. Let's move on from here to Mr. Christopher's take on Secret Invasion and its finale.
Parts of it really did remind me of Bendis's run on Powers. You know, lots of plot twists, lots of things happening in the background which you're supposed to pay attention to, and not so much the foreground. I can liken it saying like this. If the Manchurian Candidate and North by Northwest had a kid, that's what Secret Invasion would be. You know, it was at least for the first 7 issues.
Plus Battlestar Galactica. Don't forget that.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, especially the new Battlestar Galactica. You know, you don't know what's going on. You're getting parts of it here and there. And the thing is, though, the only downside for that was that a lot of the story took place outside of the main series. And if anyone knows me, they know I'm not a big fan of tie-ins. I'm not a big fan of having to go out and spend more money than absolutely necessary to go enjoy a story. I believe that a story should be told in the story, not in the tie-ins itself. And with Secret Invasion, I found myself liking the tie-ins more because I was getting that backstory. You know, I found out what happened with Fury. I found out what happened with some other characters. I found out why this happened. I found out pretty much, especially with the initiative, I was really digging the initiative also, but the whole kill crew. I thought that was really, really cool. The good parts about Secret Invasion, at least for the first 7 issues, was the fact that it likened it to like 24. It took place in about one day. That's why I really found to be really digging. It was a fast paced story. It was really snappy dialogue. It was, you know, heroes getting out of scrapes in just about the bare nick of time. You know, especially the part with Agent Brandt from Sword. I thought it was really quick thinking on her part, and I like that. But it just all seems to grind to a halt when you get to issue 8 with that. You know, and it happened this way and. That's exactly what happened in the first couple issues of the New Avengers. Anyone remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they're at the raft, right? And then all of a sudden, you see Tony Stark and you see Steve Rogers on the shield helicarrier drinking coffee, eating bagels, you know. And
they're like, "We're glad we left everyone else there, and it took a time for us."
Exactly. And it's like, what happened? And you know, they go in the whole flash sequence. I'm like, it didn't work then, and I don't think it's really going to work now, especially with a book which is all about pacing and all about momentum. You know, you need to keep up that pace. Mm-hmm. And another thing which pissed me off about Secret Invasion was the big death really wasn't all that big of a death this year. You know?
This year. Well, you know, but last year, my God, Secret Invasion's death was awesome.
I know. But, yes.
I'm glad you noticed your mistake after everyone points it out, Brandon.
Shut up.
I love you, man.
But from me, and I'm not gonna spoil for Sean, but you know, out of the big death, out of the event book this year, did anyone really care? Really?
Yes.
Yes. I did. And you know, I think Hank Pym cared a lot.
Yeah. I just wasn't feeling the last issue at all. I mean, yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse here. I think we have a consensus. Yeah, I know.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Well, how about you, Ian? You haven't weighed in, Ian.
Well, I'm gonna weigh in once Patrick talks. So let me get Patrick's take. I know that he's like more of the skimmer of the most recent stuff, but let me at least get like his take on the whole Secret Invasion thing, Patrick.
I enjoyed it to an extent. I'm probably more positive than the rest of you guys, but here's the thing. I did not buy a single tie-in. Okay, I did not read a single Secret Invasion this or any of that. I only read those 8 issues. And I, you know, for me, like, it was really, they should have just called it Clint Barton versus the Skrulls. And I think I...
Yes!
Because that's where the story was. I mean, anytime Clint and Bobby or fake Bobby or whatever you want to call her on screen, that was the money. I mean, that was the heart. And Bendis once said his favorite character was Clint, and I think it came through in this. And so for me, everything else is like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool stuff. And oh hey, you know, Reed Richards made a, you know, MacGuffin that tells us who Skrulls are and who's not. Okay, whatever. I don't care. What about Clint? Oh, it's not Bobby. And so, you know, I felt bad. But then you know, like, no, seriously, and I thought that worked. Like, that was the thing he did perfectly right in that we you know, oh, it's Bobby because she knows this thing. Oh, 3 issues later, it's not her. And then, of course, then she is back at the end, and it's all joyous and everything. And that was cool. And I did not read a tie-in, and I didn't feel like I needed a tie-in. I felt like I got the entire story right where it was. But as far as, like, leading into another event, I'm going to say it's a little bit of hypocrisy not to expect that in this day and age, in a way, because I'm going to cite 2 reasons for that. First off, we expect these quote unquote events or stories to have some sort of impact or change on the universe in which they take place. In which case, a Dark Reign, for whatever you want to call it, whether it's an event or it's a mode of thinking or whatever, that is a change of some kind that is reasonably substantial to the Marvel Universe. We don't have S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. The United States somehow disbanded an international community. That was rather impressive. We only have Hammer now. We have Norman Osborn, who went from dressing up in weird tights and laughing hysterically like he was the Joker's retarded cousin, to going to being like the most powerful man on the planet. That's a huge change. And as far as the other reason I say, you know, not to expect another event, is comics are event driven currently right now in their current economy. If you're going to go read a comic, you're reading events. You're reading part one of X, and you can talk about good or bad, or we need more single issues or whatever. But this is the current reality of our situation. Now, we're talking about event fatigue is a common term right now, and it's very likely that things will change again. They changed before. We had events like constantly, and then we didn't, and now we have events again, and we probably will get to the point where we don't anymore for a while, and it'll just change just based on these things are cyclical. So for me, I don't think Dark Reign is really an event in that it's like not really a mini series. It's more, I think, of a frame of mind at the moment, and I think it's an interesting frame of mind. I think it's a change. I mean, it's something that's happened to the rest of the universe, or to the rest of at least of planet Earth, and we got some interesting things going on. And honestly, I think if anyone should be just panicked and just shitting themselves right now, it should be Peter Parker. And I think, you know, once again, we have we're looking at these past couple events, whether it's Civil War, Secret Invasion, Dark Reign. The person who is getting nailed the most ultimately is going to be Spider-Man. The end.
Yeah, I do sort of agree with that a little bit, because, well, right now, 2 reasons why Spider-Man is screwed is, well, no one remembers his secret identity anymore. Sorry if that's a little bit of a spoiler for anybody who hasn't been reading. But,
see, that's why I didn't know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man earlier.
Yeah. Because he was...
Continuity right there. See, it all made sense now.
Wait. Wait. Peter Parker is Spider-Man?
I hate you.
I don't remember.
Wait, shut up, please.
But he just takes pictures of Spider-Man. How does that make him Spider-Man? How can he take pictures and be Spider-Man?
It doesn't... Yeah, see, it's all full of holes. That's what I think.
Thank you.
There'd have to be some sort of Peter Parker clone around.
But... Okay, but most specifically, the whole registering or not registering thing. Now Peter Parker can never register, no matter what the hell happens in his life, because now Norman Osborn is in charge. Okay, if there's any way, any freaking way that Norman Osborn can screw up his life, it would be if Peter Parker finally went, well, I guess it's time to register.
But isn't this kind of what the whole Iron Man stuff is going to be about now? Is Iron Man wanted to be the guy who kept that database, and he's going to be fighting with Norman over that? I mean, so I think some of those things are yet to be seen, how they shake out. And that's part of the status quo change once again that people are asking for. But I think Joe Quesada, I've heard him or read him say this many times, people don't really want change. They want the illusion of change. At the end of the day, if I'm just reading Spider-Man three times a month, which is like the one comic I read religiously three times a month, whether I love it or hate it, did Secret Invasion impact it at all? Nah, kind of. I mean, oh, okay, Norman Osborn was a government guy before. Oh, he's a government guy again. Okay, so let's say, Captain America. If I'm reading Captain America, there's a reference that he did something with some heroes. Oh, okay, that's great. I mean, so there... The major things, and yeah, there is this thing they can tap into. There is this major change, but they don't have to. It is that illusion of change. I mean, if you look at it, you could be reading a Captain America story right now, and you could give it to someone who read Cap, 20 years ago back in the 80s, and aside from the fact that it's a different guy under the mask, the basic mechanics of the Captain America story are fairly unchanged. He's going after... some people might have some connection to his past, might have some connection to the Avengers. He's going to throw his shield. End of the day, that's what it's going to be. There's some nuances that change. But, right. At the end of the day, the Hulk gets mad and he smashes things. It's that same kind of thing. Whether he's red or green, Hulk smashes.
Okay.
But there's a difference, I think.
In what way, Brandon?
There's a difference in change and archetype of characters, and there's also a difference in the change of the status quo. I mean... Again, what you said of Hulk getting angry and smashing stuff, you can't change the archetype of a character, but you can change the landscape in which they live in, I believe. I mean, that's really what comics are about. And for the most part, I believe the reason why the status quo has not changed as much in such an intrinsic way is because some writers don't want to adhere to that. Some writers want to have some leeway. And I think also the fact that, most books are written, maybe 6 to 8 months in advance if you're a good writer, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You have to leave some room to play with, or some room if you want to not you change the status quo to do that also, right?
Well, I guess I would argue, I mean, I've never obviously done a comic in a big crossover kind of capacity or anything. But, if you're a writer and you want to write a comic, you want to write your story. You want to tell your story, and maybe you want to get together with some friends, make this big crazy crossover, which I totally think is what like Bendis and Slott and those guys, these guys are getting together and like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? Oh, that would be awesome. That's cool when they can do that. And I think it's also cool that right now there's a structure where if you don't want to go hang out and play with your friends for a while, you can sit around and play with your own toys for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... To play off everything that's been said so far, now I'm finally going to make my comments on the whole Secret Invasion thing.
Go, Ian!
Yay! For those of you who know or don't know, head on over to the Comic Timing website and look at a post I made on April 2nd, 2008. It was my rant timing on Secret Invasion number one about all the picks that I made for Secret Invasion. Out of all the people who got off of that ship, all the picks that I made, I was wrong on every single one of those fucking picks. Okay.
At least you got that going for you.
Nice that done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I had picked that Scarlet Witch was from the ship was our Scarlet Witch, explaining away why there was no chaos magic, because that was created by a Skrull, and well, that's wrong. I said that the beast off that ship would be ours, explaining away the feline beast, completely getting rid of Morrison entirely, because that seemed to be what Marvel was doing, and I was wrong. I said our White Queen was real, which was okay, true, so that's fine. Phoenix from the ship, I said, was ours, which is really fucking wrong. Hawkeye and Wonder Man, I had doubts on both of them. But I said mostly that I thought Wonder Man was going to be the Skrull because he had no personality already, so it'd be pretty easy to actually replace him. Okay, come on, you know it's true.
Just bad writing does not mean that he's a Skrull.
All right, fine. I had said that Luke Cage was going to be a Skrull. Our Luke Cage was going to turn out to be a Skrull. And that was really freaking wrong. Jessica Jones, I said there's no way in hell he was going to get rid of his entire run of Alias, so that was not going to be the case. Vision was a Skrull. Marvel, the Kree, we know all about already. Mockingbird, I said the Mockingbird from the ship was human. And, well, that's wrong.
One ship was.
Yeah.
From a point of view.
I guess. What was that, Raf?
Are you a Skrull then?
Yes, I am, actually. But
I knew it!
Here's the one thing that I mentioned in this article that hasn't been brought up yet. So, Clint Saul, I love you, Mockingbird. I'm so happy we're back together. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be super. Did he forget that he just shacked up with Echo?
I guess that's going to be coming up in their miniseries.
That's a good question also.
But then again, he thought his wife was dead. I mean, man, can't the guy get a little something on the side if he's a widower?
He's a true player. I mean, he was just getting a little trim on the side. It's not that big a deal.
I mean, death do they part. They parted.
A little side of fries to go with your hamburger.
Besides, Echo is going to be the new Black Panther. She's going to be busy.
Yes.
She better.
No. It's the new Black Panther is, in fact, going to be T'Challa after a sex change. I'm telling you, because he prepares for every eventuality.
So wait.
If that actually happens, I will drive to Christopher Priest's house, pull him out of his house, and he and I will go on a killing rampage at Marvel Studios.
Come get me first.
Okay. All right. Mini rant time. Mini rant time right now, okay? Dear Reginald fucking Hudlin, okay?
What the hell, man?
Yeah. You have completely bitch slapped the character of Black Panther over the last 3 years, and you don't even fucking know it.
Here's the worst thing. I had never, ever read Black Panther ever before in my life until the Priest series came out, you know, with the original Marvin Lights. I picked up the first issue on a whim because this is the guy that wrote Quantum and Woody. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I adored Quantum and Woody. Like, this was the comic I lived for every month. And I mean, that guy got me to care about Black Panther and some frogs and stuff like that. And there was, you know, it was a great series. And then he goes and he pulls a complete 180 and he brings a new guy in to be Black Panther. And I still loved it. Mm-hmm. And then we got the new series and I bought a few issues of it.
Yeah.
And then I said, what? There's some woman who wants to be Black. I see, that's who it's going to be. It's going to be that sister or whatever from like the first three issues.
He changed Black Panther's origin for no reason.
Yeah. It was,
yeah, it was really freaking bad.
But, you know, hey, he's the head of BET. Is he still? Yes, he is
the head of BET, and that's the entire reason why he still has a job, even though Black Panther doesn't sell, because they're making the freaking animated series.
Well, you know, yeah. I think always the Boondocks were pretty accurate on how they would deal with BET.
Yes.
And there's the guy they should have writing Black Panther.
Oh, that would be sweet.
This is McGruder.
That'd be very.
I mean,
sweet,
you watch. You ever watch the Boondocks TV show? That guy could do action and everything.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But let me finish up on my Secret Invasion thing. So yeah, I was almost entirely wrong. Okay. and going back on it now, that's a good thing. All right, that proved that Bendis had so many things in his sleeve that I had no idea what was coming next. But my main issue with it, though, is that out of the people from that ship, none of them were actually human. That pissed me the hell off. We had to wait till a second ship landed to get Mockingbird as a human. Nobody else, really, other than the people that we already knew were Skrulls. Jarvis is alive. Why would the Skrulls have any reason to hold Jarvis? You know,
well, you see what they explained that too.
Yeah.
That the process for making their perfect Skrulls or whatever you want to call them, uh-huh, they required the DNA from their people.
The living DNA?
Yeah.
All right.
It doesn't work because Captain America's dead and so is Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And they were on the first ship.
Yes.
Well, they probably were just normal Skrulls. Because the ones on the real ship are the ones that had been planted for a long time.
Well, Jean Grey, though, had powers. She displayed that very easily. I mean, she had the whole Phoenix aura and everything.
Yeah. Captain America's mighty shield.
Yeah. So I'm not
anyone can throw a shield, yeah.
But so everyone who opposes shield must yield.
So anyway, I mean, it is pretty easy to fake his powers. I will give you that. So yeah. So let me just roll on and say finally that I'm sort of in the camp with you dudes about the whole good up until the finale thing, but I am looking forward to Dark Reign, so I guess that's happy. Let's just end it there. Let's roll on. Let's move out of the way here. We've been talking about it for the last 45 minutes. I think we get the point. So,
gentlemen,
it's the next 2008.
One moment. The next thing we're going to talk about in 2008 is about how Sean Pryor needs to leave this call.
Yes.
Yes.
I know this is, listeners will be listening. It's like, this dude hops on and then he just walks away. He's such a wuss.
You're a cut and runner. You're seriously a cut and runner. I can't stand it. You're not a maverick.
You need to get a little more mavericky.
You just want Brandon to be the only black guy.
Hey, man, then he can run things, man. You know, look, I'm all for it. It's okay. I'm not mad at the brother. I love him. Nothing but love.
Embrace
nothing but
change.
Love.
Embrace change.
Yes, but listen, as always, it's wonderful being on the show, Ian. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure having you, as always, Sean.
Jason, we will be talking soon. Brandon's very nice meeting you. Mr. Marvelous Patrick, it's really cool meeting you. Raph, I don't know what I can say, Raph. I don't know. But before I go,
yes.
I had heard, Ian, I heard you say that Brandon works for Toys R Us.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
I used to work for Toys R Us a long time ago.
Ah.
And,
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, you know, and I remember after leaving Toys R Us. Oh, man. After leaving Toys R Us, I was about to graduate from college, and this was like in 99. I had left Toys R Us like a couple years before graduating. But I went to one of the stores I was familiar with because a friend of mine wanted to do some Christmas shopping. I was graduating in December of 99, and he wanted to do some Christmas shopping. I said, look, I'll roll with you. Let's go. So we go to this Toys R Us in the greater Cincinnati area.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, we pull in, we get there, and he was looking – I can't remember what he was looking for, but I told him at the time I was looking for a WWF, because they're still called WWF, The Rock action figure for my cousin. He's a big Rock fan. I said, I'm going to get him one, and you go find what you got to find. Let's break up. Let's split up, and we'll meet, you know, at so-and-so in 15 minutes. Cool. So, you know, I'm walking around, and I find my action figure. I'm like, cool. You know, the intercom is blaring, like, you know, some Celine Dion Christmas music, you know, and I'm like, I'm really starting to get nauseous, and I'm like, you know what, there's a reason why I don't work at this motherfucker anymore, and now I know why. And I look up, and I see my friend all the way on the other side of the store, and he's screaming, and he's got his hands, you know, up in the air, just waving them. And I can't hear him because of the loud music. I'm like, dude, I'm like, I can't hear you. I just start yelling. And then, like, the Celine Dion finally goes away, and he's like, look behind you. So I look behind me, and I notice that I'm in, like, a fully restocked Pokemon area. And in 1999, Pokemon was still the shit, okay? And I look, and I see this fully restocked Pokemon area, and then I turn my head, and before I can get out the words, oh, shit, I get trampled. Pokemon parents. Okay, I get completely trampled, and I'm sitting there like weaving, you know, rolling left and right, you know, on the ground with my Rock action figure rolling left and right, and then, like, you know, the parents are fighting over Pokemon. I mean, it's just utter insanity. Slaps are getting tossed and punches are being thrown. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I finally get up, brush myself off. And I'm about to go walk towards the cash register. During this whole time, my friend is on the other side of the store just looking. Not helping, looking. So I brush myself off, and I'm about to walk away, and this guy just takes my Rock action figure away from me. And I'm like, excuse me, that's mine. I got that from over there. I need it back because I'm going to go pay for it, please. He's like, no. I said, no, wait a minute. I'm trying to be real calm and general to you about this. Please give that back. I found it first. It's not for me. It's for my cousin. It's for Christmas. I'm asking you nicely to please give it back. He's like, no, fuck you. And see, people must realize in life, those who know me know that I'm a very cordial, gentle, loving person.
Except for when I make you rant.
Except for when you be exactly. And I said, this is the last time I'm going to ask you nicely. Please hand me back the Rock. And he said, no, fuck you. I'm taking it. So I grabbed him. In the midst of all these Pokemon parents fighting, I grab him. And I said, look, you son of a bitch. I came here for this. This is all I wanted. Give me this damn action figure. I swear I will beat the living shit out of you. And I was becoming something I don't like. I didn't like that.
The Incredible
Hulk. But once again, though, my friend is over here watching. On the other side of the building, I turn and I look at him, and this is what he says. Rock bottom! Give him the rock bottom! And I literally look at my friend, I look at this dude who I grabbed, and I gave him like a modified rock bottom, slammed him on the ground, grabbed the action figure, I looked at my friend, I said, bounce now. Took off and threw like $6 on the counter and never looked back.
So I'm, keep the change!
Sadly, it was a $12 toy.
And that is my Toys R Us story.
Sean, and that is why we love you.
And that's how he met Ian.
Yes, yes, little do you know, I was that fucker who... Sean, man, always a pleasure. Pimp your ass out right now. Where can we find you?
PKDmedia.com website's currently being rebuilt. Hopefully it'll be up either by late February, early March. We've got a couple books coming out in the next few months. We will have the new big PKD Media Presents book called PKD Media Presents Mercury and the Murd. It will have a supersized Mercury and the Murd story, as well as 4 to 5 additional titles, 100 plus pages, nice low price. We're going to pimp that on DCBS and HeroesCorner.com and possibly in March for sale. So it will be shipped out to people in May. We will also have coming up this year Greenbrook. We also will have coming up a graphic novel one-shot called Double Jumpers. And if time serves us right and, the finances are straight, we're going to try to put out another PKD Media Presents Mercury and the Murd anthology book. It's one big book, one big universe. Pretty much everything ties together, and it's got some funny stuff. It's got some action. It's got some science fiction. It's got a little bit of everything for you, and I promise you it'd be good, because if it ain't good, I'm not putting my name on it. So we got all types of people. Dave DeWanch has done some work for us. Chad Ciccone's doing a bunch of work for us for this new Mercury and the Murd book. We got Andrew Charpar. We got Grant Miller, who works with Dave on the Geek Savants. He's doing some stuff for us. We got Dave Wachter. We might actually, in a couple of months, have Brent Schoonover do something for us.
No, I went to college with him.
Really now?
Yeah, we went to the same art school. Yeah, I was a comic major. He was an illustration major.
Oh, awesome. Let's see, who else? We've got a bunch of people. To anybody that I didn't name, please just charge it to my head and not my heart, because I don't have my chart with me at this time. But
wow, that almost rhymed.
Break it down for us, would you?
Break it down now.
I'll make it funky fresh for you if you're not careful.
And the email address, Mr. Pryor?
You can, for PKD media emails, just hit me up at Sean, S-H-A-W-N dot Pryor, P-R-Y-O-R, at PKDmedia.com. Or if you just want to send me a friendly email, you can just send it to TheBlackSuperhero@Yahoo.com. Once again, that's TheBlackSuperhero@Yahoo.com. I've had that email since 97. I ain't changing it. There you go.
Yes. And fuck you, Black Panther.
Bring in the heat.
Always a pleasure, Sean. Enjoy your sleep.
All right, you guys have a wonderful evening.
All right, take it easy. Sean.
Later.
Later.
All right, Mr. Sean Pryor leaves the call. As we move on to our next question, and because there's one less person on the call, hopefully it'll go a little bit faster than the last one.
Hour 4.
Yes. All right. What was your breakout title of 2008? And this one will begin with Wrath Suhu.
I am going to go with probably the most obvious answer I can go with here. Actually, I think I went with this one last year, too. Nova.
Nice.
Simply because the Annihilation Conquest stuff was really, really good. It brought back the Phalanx and what's-his-face, the mutant from that joined the Phalanx.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
Would that be Warlock?
Yes, Warlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a good storyline. But my favorite issue of Marvel issue of the year is arguably Nova number 19.
Oh boy, here we go.
Darkhawk. Arguably one of the greatest armored superheroes to come from the 1990s.
Hey. Yeah.
Wait, and he gets to say that
because Brent isn't on the call to bitch slap him and say Asriel.
No. You don't understand. The greatest tag team of all time would be Asriel and Darkhawk. Nothing in the universe could stop them. Because I won't let it happen.
Except for sales.
No, I will become the Wrath Man of Zur-En-Arr, and just like Batman, I'll be unbeatable, and I'll just push the sales through the roof.
Uh-huh.
And when I wake up, I'll have 9 million copies of Asriel Darkhawk in my room.
Each sold why? At $3.99 a piece.
Yes. $3.99.
Variant cover.
For 8 pages of content.
It'll be great. It'll be one of the greatest things that have happened in human history, like the creation of paper, great China, the pyramids.
And don't forget, he wasn't the only person who returned that issue.
Yeah, but he's the only one that matters.
Oh.
Oh, yes, Quasar came back for a little bit.
Yes, the original Quasar, the important Quasar.
Wendell Vaughn. But
Quantum Bands.
Yes.
But all the power in the universe does not match up to the power of Darkhawk.
All right, that's left to the beholder. So now, I will switch this over to Mr. Wood.
I know you think I'm going to say Deadpool.
No, you got to save that for your best new title. So,
yeah, I'm actually going to go with an offshoot of Nova, Guardians of the Galaxy, and I say offshoot because it's done by the same writing team, Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, who are just knocking it out of the park. It's been such a pleasant surprise. The first issue was just. Exciting and hilarious at the same time. I mean, you've got Rocket Raccoon, you've got a telepathic dog, you've got a former giant tree creature that's now a little branch that keeps growing.
Groot.
It's hysterical, and it's really well written, and Paul Pelletier and Rick Magyar are just drawing their asses off on that book. So no question for me that was the breakout title of this year, and I hope that sales stay strong enough on it that it does another couple years here in it.
Well, I hope it sticks around because, well, Abnett and Lanning, man, I know that they were doing Legion of Superheroes before this, so obviously they've been around for years and stuff, but it took them until now to really, really break out of their shell, I think. You know, like, I mean, actually having, like, a huge part of a universe to play around in, and Marvel has, like, brought them in with welcome arms. I mean, they're doing the War of Kings also and a bunch of other stuff for Marvel, so, hell, the more they do, the merrier, man.
Absolutely. They got their chance with the cosmic stuff, with Annihilation, and they've basically taken over, and reinvigorated the Marvel cosmic. And to me, if you, like Raph said, if you look at Nova and the quality that book is, and you look at Guardians and you look at Annihilation Conquest, I mean, I just think everything they're touching right now is terrific. So, I hope they stick around for a long time. They're not exclusive to Marvel though. In fact, they're doing, something at DC. They were solicited for something in DC last month. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was, I think, maybe Superman, Batman, or it's something. It was something that caught my eye because it's something I normally wouldn't read, but I noticed that they were writing it, so I thought I'd give it a try. But I see if I can look it up on the web. I forget what it was.
Okay. Cool, excellent. Well, whatever it is, I might have to check it out. Unless it's Superman, Batman, because I haven't picked that up since Jeff Loeb. But oh well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brandon.
I'm going to say Invincible Iron Man.
Nice. You sort of stole the words out of my mouth, but anyway, tell us why.
Because it's fraction-rific, maybe? Is that a word?
It is now.
Yes, it's fraction-rific. It's possibly one of the most well-written books out there right now. With, you know me, I'm a fan of dialogue, and I think it was issue 2 or 3 had the best line in it ever. It was between Maria Hill and Tony Stark, and they're going back and forth, and I think Stark said to her, "Maria, Supergirl's called. Your appointment's at 3. And I put the book down.
That's right. I do remember that. That was awesome.
She does need a better barber, I will agree.
Yeah. A little bit Mandyke there. A little bit Mandyke.
Yeah. What was that, Patrick?
I'm laughing on the inside.
Gotcha. All right, so we got one vote for Invincible Iron Man over there. Patrick, what about you?
I'm kind of a Johnny come lately to a lot of things. If I miss like the first issue, or like I'll miss a second issue, then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm out. And then like 3-4 years later, I'll get like some trade paperbacks or something. I'm like, oh my god, it's the greatest comic ever. And so for me, I discovered Captain America this past year. Like, literally, 2008 for me was about Captain America, where I got, for Christmas, I got the omnibus with the, all the Brubaker stuff up through the death. And so, like, the very next day or whatever, you know, like, the moment I could, I went and got, like, the next trade paperback of that. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I can't wait for single issues. So, or I can't wait for trades. So I went and bought, like, all the back issues and stuff that I didn't have and got cut up that way. So for me, I've been just humming along on the Captain America, and I think I'm about to do the same thing probably with Invincible Iron Man. I keep saying, when's the trade for that coming out? Because, man, I don't know. I feel like some of these things just aren't around. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me, but like, I'm looking around for stuff these days, and it's like, and I don't like to look around online. I'm one of those people, I really like to walk in my store and look at stuff and get fingerprints on everything, you know, and rip the pages and basically just destroy the thing and then not buy it after I've read it.
Get thrown and, out of the store, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, so that's just me. But, yeah, Captain America, the whole thing, and I think it's awesome. And I'm cool if Steve Rogers is Barry Allen dead, in that he's gone for at least a decade or two, and then maybe he comes back after that, because I think Bucky fits the thing they need for Captain America. Yeah, we mentioned the illusion of change earlier, and once again, it's the same thing. It's a guy from World War II who's there now, and he's a man out of time, and Bucky is, once again, a man out of time because of the whole memory thing as Winter Soldier and whatnot, and they just add some new twists with the whole communism thing, because, you know, commies are cool again.
Yes, they very much are, yes.
Well, you know, actually, commies were always cool.
Commies, I was liking commies back when you were babies, man.
Let me tell you, I was into commies even in the 80s.
Well, then.
I am a commie.
You are a commie, Raph. That is true, yes. All right.
That's better than dead.
So, my breakout title of 2008 is a little from column A and a little from column B of things that have already been said, because Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker wrote it together. Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, I almost picked that.
Talk about a stroke of genius. Moving the X-Men to San Francisco was fucking brilliant. Okay?
Agreed.
Because not only did they fit in, I mean, not only is this city tailor-made for mutants, because they already lived there in real life, I mean,
Brooklyn.
Yes. I'm sorry. The West Coast scares me, but
wait. If they moved the X-Men to the Village, would that work also?
That would totally work.
See that. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
I don't. It's probably not big enough. It's probably, well, no, there's only 198 of them.
Well, so. Doctor Strange would not be happy. But.
Yeah, how many people can fit in that house of his?
I know, right? but yeah, no. I mean, it made perfect sense. They fit right in. The police actually liked them for once, and the characters seemed genuinely happy for the first time in a very long time. I mean, sure, you know, Scott Summers is still a little bit broody with his whole you know, secretly setting out the X-Force under Emma's watch and everything. But the last couple of issues have been great. The fact that I can ignore that Greg Land is on this title means that the writing is that good. All right? Because if I see one more porn face out of Greg Land, I think I'm going to throw up. I just need to have that out there. I mean, I'm sure Woods used to hearing this out of his regular podcasting partner, so that's not much of a big surprise.
Dude, J.C. Lane as Pixie is hot. Now, the fact that Pixie's supposed to be a 14-year-old girl... A little awkward.
A little
but.
Less hot, yeah. What were you?
How old is Jubilee now?
I want to quote the picture. Just...
Jubilee just turned 48, I think.
what was that, Brandon?
I want to quote the fiction to say, leave Greg Land alone.
No.
No.
I'm
no.
Okay with the porn face.
Well, okay, yes, but when Terry Dodson draws them, I am happy.
Oh, God.
Hot.
I am at peace with the world when Terry Dodson draws them, but that's only every other issue. And it looks like Matt Fraction is doing it solo now, because I don't see Brubaker's name on it anymore. But
It's going to be arcs, Ian.
Arcs,
from that, from
okay.
Me. Yeah, from here on out. So, but also for the art. So Dodson and Fraction are doing this arc. So
all right,
it'll better in trade. So that's good. You yeah. can, I mean, if you have to, you can skip the land issues. Although, I'm with you. I'm not a land fan, but I'm such a X-Men addict that it could be. You know, I buy it no matter what. So it's not like I'm being very discerning here. But yeah. but I have to say that I have been enjoying the change in the status quo well enough that I can almost ignore lands. Penchant for photoshopping. Ooh, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not much of a land fan myself. I'm more of a sea guy. Oh, hey, ho, hey, hey.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Yeah.
I don't think women and seamen mix.
You're gonna knock
that one out of the fucking park, Patrick. Thank you. Thank you. But
and that's why I will win that co-host challenge next week.
For a show that's on once a year.
Oh,
that's fine.
Hey, I resent that.
Hey, Wood. Remember, Raph's on the call. You should be making fun of his show.
Hey, yeah, Raph, before you got on the call, Ian said, oh, we're waiting for Raph because he's finishing up Geeks Unite. And I said, that is the name of the show, right?
That's a better joke.
It's a better joke, yeah. And Raph, I said this is analogous. You recording an episode of Geeks Unite is analogous to the way that that my gym is crowded for the first week after New Year. Everyone's got that resolution to do something, and then by the third, fourth week, it's empty again. So I challenge you to record an episode in February. All right.
Well, we will be at New York Comic Con, so there you go.
And New York right. Comic Con is bigger. Okay, all right.
New York Comic Con.
Sadly, you folks have to deal with that shit later on. All right, so, okay, we can move on from here to the rest of what's going on. Let's go from the happy to the sad. We talked about one of our disappointments, and that was the end of Secret Invasion. But I'm sure people had bigger disappointments than this. What disappointed you the most out of Marvel in 2008? Now, this is a very broad question. It could be a comic book, it could be a series, or it could be a creator. That's totally up to you, or even a character. But what disappointed you the most out of 2008? And Patrick goes first this time.
I get to go. Oh my God. I'm not ready. What disappointed me? One More Day or whatever? Was that in 2008?
No, that's 2007.
2007. Please try again.
Dang it! It all just kind of blurs together. You know what? I will say what disappointed me.
Final Crisis was in DC.
I'm enjoying that actually.
Okay, right.
I love Grant Morrison, man. That guy could crap on a napkin, and he basically
does.
Thank
you.
But
yes, he did do that already.
Yeah. I would say in the Spider-Man in the Brand New Day as we go on the New Ways to Die story that you know it was kind of like hyped up as the big one with lots of things happening. You know, Norman came back, and that kind of disappointed me in that. They didn't even bother with the illusion of change in that one. Mm-hmm. Like they said, like, oh, it's the all new Scorpion. Like in one issue, where like Gargan had the Scorpion outfit and the Venom alien, and then of course by the end of it, he was back to Venom because he had to go do Thunderbolts. And of course, nothing could happen actually between Spidey and Norman because Norman's busy. You know, obviously very important in other places, and you know, Spidey's got to still be doing his thing. They've dragged on this spider tracer killer thing for forever. They haven't. You know, they teased everything. You know, the whole. I'm going to say that the fact that they've started like what feels like a billion plot lines in Spider-Man, but they haven't resolved any of them. Like the closest we've gotten was the jackpot thing, which wasn't even in the main series. So that's my biggest disappointment. I love reading each issue. But I love the fact it comes out three times a month, and I'm always excited. I go to the comic book store. I've got like a stack of Spider-Man comics, and that's just like really great. And I think technically speaking, they're well done comics, but the follow through hasn't been there. And if like you said, oh no, that was 2007 when that happened. That means I've been reading this stuff for a year, and I don't have any answers yet. They have put out you know just a buttload of comics. And I still don't know who like Menace is, or anything like that, or you know, that's my disappointment, I guess.
That's a pretty decent disappointment. I mean, I would disagree with you on the whole you know Brand New Day thing because I'm still enjoying it, but I will.
Oh yeah, I am too.
It's just that I will certainly agree, for God's sakes, give us a conclusion. It looks like they finally are with at least the Spider Tracer thing and the Menace thing. But
oh, are they?
Yeah,
when?
This arc that's coming up after this one.
So like April.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That is pissing me off. I mean, we waited more than a year and there are no answers yet. That kind of sucks.
And yeah, if it was more than a year like it used to be, if it was like a year and it was 12 issues, that's one. I mean, but we're looking at what was 3 times 12? I'm bad at math. I draw comics for crying out loud. We've waited like a million issues.
Yes, actually, we have waited a million issues. Thank
that's
you.
That's the exact number.
Thank you, Patrick, for your wise and thorough information. All right.
Wait, well, any time.
Brandon, biggest disappointment of 2008.
Countdown. Oh, I'm sorry. That was
yeah, wrong one, man. Please try again.
Sorry. I don't know. That's a good one also. I mean, I don't think I can say any particular book, but I can say almost like general direction of the Marvel Universe as of late, especially with the end of Secret Invasion. I mean, I like how Secret Invasion was built up, and I thought that was really good storytelling, but I think now with Dark Reign, you know, with one event leading to another event, it's going to lead to sloppy storytelling and just lazy storytelling, I think. You know, it's going to lead us back to the 90s where everything was going to be bigger, better, and darker just for the sake of it being bigger, better, and darker.
I am no longer Spider-Man. I am just the Spider.
Oh, I'm in the fetal position.
I own that issue somewhere deep in my house somewhere.
I've been buying Spider-Man comics since the very first appearance of Carnage straight, okay? I have not missed an issue. So,
You just made me feel really, really old, by the way.
And, and
holy Christ. To me, Carnage was like something that came about
like 5 minutes ago.
Decades after I started reading Spider-Man, my God. Oh, wow. Okay.
That's when I started buying Spider-Man. I didn't say I was going to start reading it.
That's why we have you here, Jason. You're the professor.
I know, but
what were comics like before?
I'm usually the young guy in the podcast room, but tonight I'm the old grizzled veteran, I think.
Well done.
I'm the young guy.
Continue your rant about how things are wrong, Brendan.
I think, you know, in a couple months we'll be seeing, you know, after like New Age of that, we'll see Identity Crisis 2 with Spider-Man. He'll be taking up another four heroes because he's gone on the run again. You know, I don't want to see, you know, a rehash of what happened in the 90s. I mean, right now we're in a kind of tumultuous time for comic books. You know, right now comic books are the big thing, and at any given moment, you know, it may lead to another bust because, you know, that well may start to run dry, and we need to keep telling good stories. And I think Quesada knows what a good story is, but I think sometimes he goes for that fanboyism inside of him. You know, we've heard him all speak at, like, you know, at cons and such, and he's like, oh, this is going to be so awesome, it's going to be so great, and you get that look of enthusiasm on his face. But it's just sometimes I think with the execution of how he leads just doesn't work out sometimes.
I'll hear you. I'll certainly hear you there, man. But on the bright side, at least we never have to have Spider-Man split into a red Spider-Man and a blue Spider-Man.
Oh, come on. That'd be
awesome. Awesome, though.
Okay, I could get behind that.
My God, you all suck.
You should be working at Marvel, man.
Wait, Ian, too late. Scarlet Spiders, remember?
Don't!
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Superman didn't get like a billion clones. He only got one.
God,
he got like 8 of them at the very end, though.
That's true.
And it's not like Superman ever had to have armor built. Oh, wait.
Oh, I love armored Superman from Hunter Prey, Doomsday Hunter Prey. Oh, my God.
What
great.
Can of worms wait. Have I opened to the world?
Armor!
No. The best armor Superman, though, was from Batman Superman, the Kryptonite thing.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. All right. Well, let's move on to Jason. Biggest disappointment.
Well, for me, it wasn't any title. It's the move to the $3.99 price point. You know, I think we're in the – not to get too gloomy, but we're in the worst recession since World War II. You know, unemployment rates are going to go to 9%, and we're already at a point where it's pretty much a niche industry. You know, yes, it's great that Iron Man's doing well in the box office and that Dark Knight's doing well, but – at the end of the day, that's not translating into tangibly more comics books sold, which is ultimately what we care about. And I can't see how justifying a 30% price hike in a period of deflation and everything else isn't going to lead to, I fear, some pretty serious damage. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're also addicted to the medium that we just find a way to power through it, like we would, finding a way to buy a pack of cigarettes if we were smokers. But I just think it's bad form, because I think Marvel's always been the price setter, and if they do this and it doesn't show a real material pushback in terms of the numbers, I think DC will follow suit shortly thereafter, because Time Warner won't pass up those extra pennies in their pocket, and I just think it's bad things. I mean, it's tough for people. I spend a few hundred dollars a month on comics, but I'm fortunate enough to have that situation, but a lot of people are on budgets, and I think that it just means people are going to be buying fewer comics for their dollars, and that's not a good thing. So
hey, guess what? It's okay if they go to $3.99. You know why? Because their online subscriptions are not going up, and so you can just pay to read it online on the cheap, and you just got to wait 6 months.
Yeah, you just got to wait 6 months.
Well, yeah. It doesn't affect me. I think it affects me the least out of everyone here, because I just read them on my laptop.
Yeah, thanks, Raph. Thanks for reminding us that you work at a store and that you're better than all of us.
Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily better. Well informed, maybe, but not necessarily better.
Well, that's debatable.
It's okay. The rest of us just go to the store and read them and then put them back.
That's very true. I see it happen.
So that people that work at the store won't get paid and lose their jobs. Then the store will close, and we won't be able to do that anymore.
But no, Jason, I do firmly agree with you. I mean, it is good that we do have alternatives, like getting our stuff online from distributors and stuff like that, but not everybody has that. And I mean, for people who go into stores on a regular basis who don't even know that there are online opportunities, they're the ones getting screwed here. And I mean, there are plenty of people out there that still don't know how to turn on a website, you know?
So yeah.
You know who's really getting screwed actually in this is going to be the stores.
I was just going to make that point.
Ultimately, it's
agree.
Not going to be the readers. Because, like, people, I don't want to pay $3.99. Okay, I'm going to go to DCBS or something like that. It's going to stop foot traffic to stores that are already, desperate for income, especially in bad economic times.
Sure. Well, it's even going to have a more direct impact than that. And Raph, maybe you could speak to that if you're high enough up on the food chain there to have. Be privy to some of these conversations, but I know a few of the stores guys that I know are frustrated because for most stores it's a labor of love. Most LCS owners are not printing money, and it's a labor of love anyway in the first place. They wouldn't have probably opened up a comic store if they wanted to get rich in the first place, and the issue here is that it's such a cash flow business for these guys that it matters. I mean, that 30% price hike is to them as well. I mean, yes they're paying, obviously they're paying the pre-diamond discount and having a markup, but they're still, their prices are going up too, and that's that's 20 to 30% more cash they have to come up with to carry the same inventory. So it just raises their risk profile too. If a book doesn't sell now, it's that much more painful to their bottom line. So I just think it's very much, I think, an imprudent decision on a lot of levels.
Hear, hear. Raph, you're not even close to high enough on the food chain to actually.
Oh, actually, okay. Oh,
okay.
Well, do you want to just get to me first? Because actually, I was going to mention this.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was thinking, but since Wood already mentioned it, I was going to mention that, the fact that Marvel isn't going to 350 first is a very big disappointment. But also, yeah, I'm just going to stick with this for now. Okay. So from what I've heard from just, people talking to managers and stuff and listening to stuff, right around September, October, when this whole thing really hit the fan, we did see a bit of a spike. Like up, but generally we've trended down, but we're not doing significantly lower than what we would do. Like, I think it's more like I didn't hear an exact number, I think, but something like a 15% decrease, or like it's a really minor. It's not as big as certain other places, but we're doing okay. But then keep in mind we have two stores, an online store. And we're also arguably one of the top three comic book retailers in the country. So
I would say. And you're also in Manhattan. So although certainly the Manhattan economy being hit and going to continue to be hit, the aggregate, you know, the socioeconomic demographics of your customer base are much, much higher than the average comic store as well.
Our client base is generally wealthier, and I mean, they're just judging from the regulars and what they buy, the big time spenders, they're spending right about the same as what they usually spend. Oh. I haven't heard about too many cuts. I mean, one of them just complained like he spent $170 this past week, and it's like he bought a whole bunch of variant covers, and it's like, you know, why are you complaining when you don't buy variant covers? And he still
is that Frank
it, so.
Castle was visiting you guys? Or?
It's one of our less favorite regulars. Who? Yeah,
I know who you're talking about, so that's fine.
Yeah, can't go beyond that because I'd be breaking the confidentiality agreement that I have with Midtown.
there is no confidentiality.
Well, no, I can't. I don't represent Midtown Comics. So I do represent Midtown Comics in some sort of fashion. So it can be construed that something I say would represent Midtown, so
sure,
I can't.
I agree.
Say.
Yeah, well, I can also tell you, Raph, that whatever you do say, I would edit out of the show because you know me as good as that.
Yeah,
that and no one listens to the show,
which is also a positive. Yes,
that's true.
No one.
And I'll never be a guest on here again.
But yeah, my other disappointment since it's a book. It's a specific book. It's Ultimates 3.
Oh, good call.
Not that bad.
No, it's not that bad, Brandon. Raph, go on your rant, and then I'll go on mine. Go ahead.
Okay, it may not have been the worst book I've ever read, but this is the Ultimates we're talking about here. Mark Miller and Brian Hitch did excellent work on the first two Ultimate series. Mm-hmm. And then we have Jeff Loeb basically massacred the subtlety of the Scarlet Witch Quicksilver relationship.
Oh, yeah,
big twist.
Wait,
out of nowhere.
Jeff Loeb didn't do a good job writing something? What?
What?
Wait. Did I just say Jeff Loeb? Right. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm saying that about Jeff Loeb.
Let me just reiterate real quick. Wasn't it absolutely brilliant that the like 2 weeks after he gets, you know, fired from Heroes, they air the episode where it's the comic shop filled with Jeff Loeb comics. And they're like, well, we still don't worry, we still have plenty of Hulk right here, and he holds it up.
Ooh. Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
You know what's cool also about this episode though?
What's up?
Is my friend Dirk, some of his comics were in there too.
Oh, cool.
They approached him at San Diego this year. So yeah, Paradigm Shift by Dirk Tiede.
Excellent.
Oh, I've seen that comic.
Yeah.
It's hard for me not to see a lot of, anyway. Just the whole Black Panther is Captain America, and
what? See, I didn't even bother checking this out.
And the evil Avengers are cyborgs created by Dr. Doom, who used Magneto to create this whole mutants versus humans thing.
Yeah. What?
And yeah. I
who
just put
this.
Oh, and don't forget, Raph, Ultron is Yellowjacket.
Oh, Ultron mm-hmm. is Yellowjacket. I didn't mind until I saw that the other Avengers robots, and I was like,
The Jocasta also. Don't forget that.
Yeah,
the other Jocasta.
Again, not the worst thing I've ever read.
So wait, let me get this straight. In two different universes, Hank Pym had been replaced by something else that wasn't human, and no one noticed.
Yes. That just goes to show how much.
And
of
these two things happened within months of each other.
Within months.
Yeah. Yes.
And so, I mean, like, from, it's horrible. It's just, Hulk, I didn't like Hulk with the whole destroying Thor that destroyed the credibility of JMS's run. Yada, yada. I didn't like it, but Hulk is entertaining. It has an entertainment value, and it has great artwork. Majora's work was really inconsistent.
But we talked about it before. That was, I think it really came down to the colorist.
Yeah, but again, that's, you know, But the whole crux of the argument is, out of all the bad books I read this year from Marvel, Ultimates 3 is arguably my least favorite.
Okay. Well,
it is my least favorite. Sorry,
it is your least favorite, not arguably, but it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that though, because I hate to sound like I'm just like harping off of you here, Raph, but. Two of my least favorite books this year came out of Jeff Loeb.
And I am
going to talk about Hulk here, not for the reason that you said, but for another reason. Okay. So
I think I know why.
Yeah. All right. So there are 9 issues out of Hulk. right now. Jeff Loeb, Ed McGinnis. When did this title start?
Last year sometime, right?
Yeah, but certainly...
Oh, no. It started right after World War Hulk, which ended in the summer of 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so 9 issues in about a year and a couple months. Not that horrendous, sure, but still, this is the main Hulk title. You know, this is your Hulk title after World War Hulk, which, you know, people might say boosted Hulk to the quote-unquote next level. And you let him fizzle out by not having a book come out regularly with the character of Hulk in it. February 2008 was the first issue.
You know what? Okay. I am going to totally agree with you on this Hulk thing. Because, like, World War Hulk was awesome, or not awesome. I mean, it was awesome in the fact that it was, like, Hulk-centric in the universe and all that. And, yeah, where was the follow-up on this?
Right. And, go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say... and I've made this rant before, Planet Hulk was awesome. Planet Hulk was a brilliant, it was the best Hulk that there's been since the Peter David run, which is probably the only time Hulk was actually readable for more than a few issues. I thought World War Hulk was an absolute debacle because they were trying to make what was so special about Planet Hulk, and they ruined it, which was that he was off on his own planet doing his own thing, fighting giant monsters that couldn't really exist on Earth.
Right.
And they brought it back, and really nothing happened. I mean, talk about not changing the status quo, but pretending to. I mean, they bring Hulk back. He's livid. Supposedly he thinks that that the Marvel heroes killed his wife and child, and he comes back, destroys Manhattan. Built a gladiatorial pit in the middle of Manhattan to have them all kill each other, and then gets a crisis of conscience. And all the while, we're supposed to believe that throughout Hulk's entire history, he's never actually killed anyone. Yeah. It was absurd, beyond absurd. And then from there, I thought Incredible Hercules was that was probably my number two choice for surprising breakout title of the year. I thought that it's been really entertaining. And then to your point, Ian, then they launch into this Red Hulk thing. And
right.
I'll let you get back to it, but I just wanted to say, I mean, I guess what baffles me the most about Red Hulk is not so much that it's not that good and it's a flagship title, but that this, in spite of it not being that good, it's Marvel's one of their best-selling books. I mean, it sold over 100,000 copies last issue, which is just stunning to me. But go ahead.
It sort of hurts my mind a little bit, Jason, because you're not even having the main character of Hulk in there. I mean, this is sort of comparable to the way that Reign of Superman, you know, that sold better than a lot of the Superman titles that came before it. Just like, you know, when Azbats was Batman, that sold incredibly well. When Ben Reilly was Spider-Man, that sold incredibly well. But all of this comes down to Earth eventually. And here we are on issue 9 of this series, and we don't know who Red Hulk is yet. You know, they teased it. Everybody thought it was going to be Leonard Sampson. And then there's Leonard Sampson holding, standing over the Hulk's body going, you've been a disappointment. You know, and bam, completely out of character, mind you. Because Leonard Sampson, everywhere else he's been since then and before then, has not seemed like a maniacal bastard like he did in that one issue.
Didn't he get a haircut?
He did get a haircut, apparently. But
that doesn't work.
I know. It's very sad.
I just want to say I think it's Clay Quartermain, for what it's worth. But
okay.
I guess we'll find out eventually, I guess. I don't know when. But
we better find out soon. We better find out by issue 12 or else.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Now to be fair though, we talked about this. I'm sure I think you're up to date on the show. We talked about this in 11 o'clock a few weeks ago, when we kind of all had a similar conversation about our incredulity over Hulk being so popular. But then as we kept talking about it, we all realized that just in spite of our incredulity, we all are buying it, continuing to buy it. And and I'm guilty of it too, because literally I was done with the series, absolutely set to just stop reading it.
And then Art Adams came on art.
Exactly. Art Adams and Frank Cho came on to do an arc, and I said, well, I cannot physically – I'm physically unable to not buy something that Art Adams or Frank Cho draw. So – and I think I wasn't alone. So now I've – they're off the book again, and McGinnis is back on, so I'm done with it. But good. I suspect quite a few other people will stay on it.
Well, I'll make sure to let you know when we find out who the hell Red Hulk is.
Thank you.
Because I'm not going to be on it much longer either, to tell you the truth. Because once Heroes Corner updates their site this month, because they're doing some maintenance, I'm cutting a bunch of my books because Even I switched almost everything over to online. I mentioned this on the show previously. I'm at about, I think, maybe 120 to 140 per month from there, and then maybe to 10 to 20 bucks more at Midtown. And that's still too much money to spend. I mean, that's better than what I was doing before, but it's still too much. So I'm definitely going to have to cut some titles over the next couple months. And Hulk is one of them because nothing happens.
Preach.
Yeah. So that's the disappointment. My second disappointment, and this I'm going to be pretty quick on because only two issues have come out so far. Another Jeff Loeb book, Ultimatum. All right?
They haven't read it.
Haven't read it, yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. Because here's my problem with it. Because Brian Michael Bendis is so much into, you know, the current Marvel Universe and no longer associated with Ultimate, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right at all to have a major, major story like Ultimatum be told by one of the people who did not create the Ultimate Universe, and that's Bendis. I mean, sure, he's still doing Ultimate Spider-Man, but Miller and Bendis were the cornerstones of the Ultimate Universe. To not have one of them write what is in many ways the end of the Ultimate Universe as we know it is it's just stupid. And
you know what?
And the writing has been bad.
Nothing is going to happen. That's what it's going to be ultimately. Ha ha ha. Nothing is going to happen with Ultimatum. Because Jeff Loeb, you know, this is the kind of thing I've noticed with Jeff Loeb, and maybe he doesn't do this anymore because it's been a long time since I've read a Jeff Loeb story, but he basically can tell one story, and that's the origin story with a bunch of villains thrown in around it. He can retell the origin story, or he can retell there has to be someone's origin in order for him to do it, and then kind of does like a rogues gallery and brings them all in, and he does all these things from, oh, remember the very beginning, this is when it was good, I'm bringing it all back, and then I'm kind of gonna change it, but not really, and then okay, everything's the same at the end. So
yeah,
Nothing's going to happen.
Well, I mean, one of the things that's going to happen, we know, is that at some point, the Ultimates is going to become Ultimate Avengers with Mark Miller writing it again, which is pretty damn sweet. But we don't know who's on art yet. But
so does that mean Ultimates Volume 4 of Jeff Loeb isn't going to happen?
We don't know. We don't know, and I certainly hope not. I certainly
would that be
hope
awesome,
not.
No, Jeff Loeb Volume 4 Ultimates. That'd be great.
Yes, that would be awesome. Perhaps we'll get more incest. Again, the whole incest thing just turned me off to him entirely because that's not the way you go with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. So
it was when Mark Miller was doing it and he was just hinting at it.
Yes, but just hinting at it means everybody can laugh at the joke.
Instead of beating you over the head with it.
They came this close to making out.
Oh, no, they kind of did, actually.
Yeah, I know. Let's switch off from there to your favorite writer/artist team of 2008. And this is a team here, so give me your favorite writer and artist. I know usually we do writers and artists separately, but let's just do it as a team this time around. And we will begin with Brandon.
Even though I didn't like the ending of the series, I'll say Bendis Yu. I thought, again, the pacing with Secret Invasion with the first 7 issues, it was really well done. And with Lionel Yu and art, this is probably some of the best I've ever seen him do in a long, long time. And I thought it just matched the flow of the story, and I loved it altogether. It was a great package deal for this one.
Yeah, hear, hear. Wood?
Dan Abnett, Andy Lanning, Paul Pelletier, and Rick Magyar on Nova, and then they moved to Guardians. They did Nova a few issues early, and then now they're the team on Guardians. Just the most energetic, fun book, I think, that Marvel put out this year. So,
I love Pelletier's art.
Yeah, he's the man. He's the man. I mean, he was great on Fantastic Four too, back when Fantastic Four was actually readable.
Oh, come on!
That's not womp womp.
You hate the Miller Hitch stuff that badly?
I hate the Miller stuff. Not I don't mind the Hitch. Okay. I hate the Miller.
All right. All right. I'm not willing to give up on it yet. It hasn't been the best. It hasn't been the worst. It's been middle of the road for me, but. Out of curiosity, is there a current, since Pelletier left, I mean, there still is no official ongoing artist for Nova, right? Because it's been nothing but fill-ins.
No, Wellington Alves is the...
Oh, Wellington Alves is officially? Okay, all right. I wasn't quite sure on that, because I know there have been a bunch of fill-ins the past couple issues, so I had no idea. Okay, cool. So Pelletier, Abnett, Lanning, Word, Patrick.
I'm going to have to say the brain trust on Spidey.
Hmm.
As far as team... the brain trust, the whole artist thing, the editorial. I mean, that is the very definition of team. And I think, love it or hate it, they are successful in what they're doing. They're putting out a book, you know, three times a month for the most. You know, I think they took like a break, and they have their scheduled breaks and stuff. But and for the most part, you know, it's been entertaining. You know, I have my frustrations with it. It's not perfect, but at the end of the day, I think it's your basic Spider-Man soap opera. I think it's working, even if I don't like how we got to the status quo. We're a year in, and I'm okay with it. Honestly, we haven't seen Peter Parker dating, but
which was the whole point.
That was the whole point, but I don't care. I don't care. I mean, if they just tell me, I mean, the important thing is that they get Spidey's personality right. And apparently they thought they couldn't do that unless he was single, but, you know, so they've gotten around their mental block. They've got Spidey being, you know, quipping, kind of being humorous. You know, there's some kind of funny moments that happen, some kind of crazy stuff, and I think it's working. So I'm going to say that entire team is succeeding with what they are trying to do.
Okay, excellent. Raph?
I want to say either Frubaker Aja or JMS Coypel.
Frubaker, I love that.
Frubaker. Or is it Braxton?
I like Frubaker better. It flows better.
Okay. You know, I really love Fraction. You know, yeah, I mean, Fraction is, I think he's my favorite writer for this year from Marvel, but you know what? How many issues of Iron Fist were there with them on it, though, this year? It was like, what, four or five?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, then I might just go with Fraction and LaRocca on Invincible Iron Man. Dart there has been pretty good. LaRocca's on can be a bit off sometimes, but I really like his Iron Man stuff.
Okay, cool. Well, for me, I'm going to go with Cornell and Kirk. Paul Cornell and Leonard Kirk on Captain Britain and MI-13.
I really need to read that.
You really do, because not only is Paul Cornell a gentleman from what I've heard and seen of him.
He's a heck of a writer.
He is a gentleman. He is indeed. He's a wonderful writer. And
I envision someone like just like with a top hat and a monocle and like open swords. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
He is British, Patrick, so that's not much of a stretch.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
United,
okay,
yeah,
that's true.
Hey. But and Leonard Kirk, oh my God, he's pretty. I'm not talking about him himself, because I don't know what he looks like, but his art is pretty.
No, he's pretty. He is pretty.
Oh, he is? Okay, good. Then he's a pretty man as well. But yeah.
His face.
Yeah. I mean, and the way he draws action sequences, they flow so well, especially when they're in the air, and that was a lot of what the Secret Invasion arc was, and it worked perfectly. So definitely Paul Cornell and Leonard Kirk on Captain Britain and MI-13 get my pick for best artist-writer team of 2008. Let's move on from there to the favorite Marvel character of 2008. It could be somebody not even in his own title. Just a favorite Marvel character of 2008. And this one begins with Patrick.
Yeah, you know, that's not fair because, like, my favorite Marvel character of all time is always going to be Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be like, obviously, my go-to is always Spider-Man, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to say...
I did notice, actually.
Favorite character. I think we have to give Maria Hill some love.
Ooh, there you go.
Very nice. She is the woman you love to hate. And she does her job well in like what her role in the Marvel Universe was supposed to be for 2008, and she did it, and she summed it up perfectly when she finally got to that point in Secret Invasion when she talked about the t-shirt she's going to wear when it's all over, which is Nick Fury was right, which shows that, I mean, she actually got to that point where she had learned from her, you know, mistakes and whatnot, and had grown and everything. So I'm going to say Maria Hill.
Well, I'm glad you say Maria Hill, because my favorite character of 2008 is Nick Fury.
Ooh, yeah!
because after going underground for more than a year and not seeing him, talk about coming back with a vengeance. Holy crap, man. I mean, not only did he put the Invaders back together, basically, or whatever you want to call them. What are they, Secret Warriors
Secret
or something
Warriors.
Like that now? But, I mean... He goes in there, he kicks Skrull ass, he takes some names, and
then he walks away.
Yeah, and then he walks away, yeah. But
the man with no name.
he proved yet again why he is Colonel Nick Fury. because he was the colonel of this strike force against the Skrulls. And without him, nobody would have known what the hell they were doing. So that's why Nick Fury was the best character of 2008 by far. And I'm looking forward to him doing more in 2009. I hope Secret Warriors turns out to be really good, because I hate to see him sort of, you know, duck and run and not see him again. So Nick Fury, 2008, best character by far. And Brandon.
Oh, piggyback for a second. Yeah, Nick Fury was awesome because he also had the Glock 120 gun. Yeah. nice gun.
Yes.
But my favorite character actually is going to be kind of odd. I'm going to say Cyclops, actually. Especially with things happening out of Uncanny and also out of Astonishing.
It's nice seeing him not whine, right?
Yes, thank God. I think we're finally getting the Cyclops who we have missed since, like, the 90s.
Since Clamor. Hmm? He's over Madeline Pryor's death from X-Factor way back when, finally.
Except finally, that she's back now.
Yeah.
Oh, crud.
Dope! Yeah, well, I love the look on his face too when he realizes that she's back, and like, yeah, Emma's all like, "Sweetie, what's wrong?" And he sort of has this look on his face like, "My ex, she's back."
Dude, I had flashbacks of being at many a college party at that moment. I was like, "Oh, I've been there, pal. I've been there, buddy."
Like, "Oh crap, don't look. No, seriously, don't look." Other side of the room, Madeline Pryor, "Don't look, man."
You wonder if, like, these guys have, like, a support group, like Clint Barton, Cyclops, and these guys, like there's a support group for people whose wives have come back from the dead.
And then you see Spidey there, and they're like, "Hey, what are you doing there?" "Oh, Gwen's, oh, that's right, I'm married to me. Oh, no, wait, I'm not married anymore, yes!"
Well played, Raph, well played. So definitely Cyclops for you, Brandon, huh?
Yeah, because this goes back to, like, you know, X3, but I saw X3 and I saw Cyclops, you know, get the Jimmy Shaft of, you know, of death right there. I was like, yeah, you know, they made him out to be this whiny little biatch, and I'm like, yeah, well, Cyclops is. Cyclops, you know, is this take charge leader. He's the guy, you know, who always has the plan. And I think now, especially with, you know, Xavier not being there anymore, you know, you have Cyclops stepping up to take the role, which he should took years ago, honestly, in my opinion. And it's cool, you know, the fact you have this more confident, self-assured Cyclops. And the fact you, you know, breaking off Emma Frost every once in a while, not so bad either.
Amen. Yeah. I just wish he wouldn't keep this whole X-Force thing from Emma, because that's going to have repercussions.
Yeah, but so is the whole keeping... But she's got secrets also with her and Osborn also now. So.
Yeah, but he. But
right, what's she doing as part of the Illuminati? Yeah.
But then again, Jason, she didn't have those secrets until she realized Scott was keeping secrets from her.
True. Although you have to wonder how's he keeping it secret from her when she reads his mind 24/7. But
you know how you clinch when you really need to go to the bathroom really bad.
Sounds good in theory, but.
And there you have it. Clenching your brain's butt cheeks to prevent Emma Frost from getting in.
He's got brain constipation.
Is that a post-colloidic joke?
Wait, what?
Is that a post-colloidic joke there?
Yes. It is now.
Can we get a "That's What She Said"?
Woo! All right. Mr. Wood, favorite character.
Deadpool!
No. You guys covered a few good ones. The only one that you didn't mention that I think is deserving of mention is Bucky.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
You know,
there's no Bucky. Yeah, there's only Captain America.
No, that's right. I mean, it's true.
Only Zool.
I mean, that's kind of the point, right? Is you know, I think we take – well, at least I'm guilty of this. Captain America has been so good for so long under Brubaker that I almost take it for granted now. You know, every month it's fantastic, but I don't even ever give it its props anymore, just because it just continues to meet the very high expectations I have of it. And this, you know, the death of Captain America story has been going on now for well over a year. And I thought what was great about this year is a lot of us, I think, when Cap died, thought it was inevitable that Bucky would take over the mantle, but yet Bruce still managed to portray it in such a way that it felt significant when it actually happened. And we exited the year with finally to a point where it's no longer about Bucky filling Steve Rogers' shoes. He's now his own you know, he now is Captain America, his own man, and we're going to start seeing stories about just him being Cap and, you know, being in the Avengers and all that sort of thing. So I just thought he was probably the most real character in the mainstream Marvel Universe this year. And, I you know, that one book to me makes Brew, you know, one of the all-time Marvel great writers. I think that book is just unbelievable. So.
Definitely. And I'm looking forward to seeing Bendis work with Bucky Cap in the upcoming New Avengers, because it looks like he's going to be around a lot more often in that title. So that should be a lot of fun.
There's going to be some great talking head scenes now in New Avengers.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, Clint and Bucky just sitting down and talking about, like, girls?
For, like, an entire issue.
It'll be like that one scene in Disassembled.
You know what's going to happen?
Did you hit it? I hit it. Did you hit it? Yeah, I hit it.
No.
Did you hit that? I hit that twice.
I'm hitting that right now.
I'm really? Calling it now. New Cap and Echo. I'm calling it now.
Really?
Oh.
Black Widow's going to be pissed.
Natalia's going to be pissed.
Echo? God, is Echo like Dick Grayson now hitting everybody?
Yeah.
Smacking an ass.
Dude.
She's a 5-foot freak.
Raph, please save us from the insanity and tell us what your favorite Marvel character of 2008 was.
Well, I was going to say Cap, but because I have my standard, you know, Nova, Darkhawk, Thor. Those are my absolute favorite Marvel characters. But, you know, I'm going to go with another Brubaker written character, and he's had an absolutely crappy year, too. Daredevil.
Sure has.
Oh, my God. No. Crappy is not the word, Raph, okay? You thought it was bad when, like, his entire life went to shit before?
No. Like, God just, like, ripped open his mouth and took a shit in it and just, like gargle, made him gargle it. That's what happened there.
That stuff with Mia, oh, my God, man.
Oh, my. And, okay, let's recap. Quick. At the beginning of the year, things were pretty good. He's married. He's out of jail. Everything's fine. And then that Mr. Fear guy comes along and then totally shatters his wife's mind. And she ends up in a mental hospital. So what does Matt do? He struggles with it. He fights. He tries to become a better person. You know, he's trying to become Matt Murdock again. And then he has what's-her-face, the detective. And then they sleep with each other. And then, you know, then the parents come in and have pictures of them sleeping with each other, and then it was great. I never has a man's suffering been so entertaining to me.
That needs to be a quote on the book jacket for this upcoming volume of Daredevil.
You know, it's funny. I'm gonna throw in a Midtown anecdote here. That weekend of the summit that they had, and they were at Comic Club, Fraction, Brubaker, and Bendis come into the store, and someone tells me. And so I'm walking over, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to tell him? What am I going to tell Bendis? Secret Invasion sucks, and then this is before 8 came out. And then I turn the corner, and he's right there. I'm like, shit.
Oh, fuck.
And then he goes to – I don't think he heard me, because he goes to pick up Cacophony, and I try to strike up a conversation with him. And then, you know, I do, and then I break off. And then one of my coworkers goes over to Fraction and goes, he loves his work, and he thinks he's Brew. And then Fraction's like, no, that's Brew over there. He calls Brew over. Brew looks straight at me and comes over and is like, what'd you do? What are you saying about me? Oh, what do you want? You want to fight? And it's like, oh, no, dude, I love your work. Do you read Criminal? No, I don't read Criminal. I love your work. Oh, you don't read Criminal? And he's like, my ass.
Did you pick up Incognito?
Yes, I did.
Is that it, that is good?
I know. I haven't read it yet, but yeah. No,
that's great. Wait a second. I need to read it.
Right now it's great.
I know, but I haven't read it yet. Wow.
No, I flipped
that's
it
the book jacket.
I haven't sat down to read it completely, but I just. God, Brubaker is going to fucking kill me someday.
I'm telling you, man. Quote for the book jacket for Incognito. Quote for the book jacket for Incognito. Oh, man, this shit is good. I haven't read it yet.
So anyway.
It looks great.
Long story short, I Matt Fraction now follows me on Twitter, and I'm gonna tell Brubaker on Twitter that that quote for Daredevil.
Thank you.
And for Incognito. And
to touch on Daredevil for 1 minute, you want to know how good Ed Brubaker actually is? he made an idea like Lady Bullseye work.
Yeah. Oh, let's just make him a girl.
I mean, come on. This man is simultaneous. Well, not simultaneously, but okay. This man has moved the X-Men, brought back Bucky, made Bullseye a chick, and it was all good.
And made Iron Fist awesome.
And made Iron Fist awesome, yes. He has done the unbelievable.
Just wait till he gets his hands on Uncle Ben.
From the dead as Counter Venom.
Awesome. Counter Anti Venom.
Reverse Anti Bizarro Venom. I don't know.
Speaking of Venom, the last page of Wolverine number 70.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, that was
dude. Holy crap.
I mean, I am definitely part of that generation that is not a big Venom fan. I mean, I think he's really, really overdone, but I have to say V-Rex is pretty fucking hilarious.
Oh my God, yes it is.
Well, you know,
I haven't seen it yet.
This kind of makes me want to skip questions. We'll go back to the other one in a minute. Favorite single issue and miniseries of 2008. Two things here at once, because my favorite single issue of 2008 might very well be the issue of Wolverine that you were just mentioning just now with Miller and McNiven, because simultaneously the most depressing comic book I've ever read in my entire life, and I'm not over exaggerating, my entire life.
Whoa, you got to read some more indie stuff, my friend.
I know I do.
Blankets, have you?
Well, okay, all right. To summarize, for people who might not have read it, so...
Spoilers.
It's spoiler time, yeah. This is the old man Logan stuff. This is a flashback to why he refuses to pop his claws in this future world. Well, everything's all fine and dandy in the X-Mansion. Everything's going great until suddenly, while in the control room, Jubilee sees all these messages popping up on the screen. One from the Avengers, one from the Fantastic Four, and a couple of others pop up. I'm like, oh, looks like there's something wrong. Gee, I wonder what it is. You know, Wolverine asks himself, and before he knows it, all of a sudden, all the lights go out, and a bunch of supervillains pop through the wall, and oh no, things are going to hell. The one villain that you see for certain is Mysterio. And Wolverine is, you know, kicking ass, taking names like he always does, and, you know, he kills every single person he can possibly see who is a villain. And this includes Dr. Octopus, and Sabretooth, and the list goes on and on. Until finally... the last person he's facing is Bullseye. This is after all the kids have gone to safety and everything. And as he's about to give the final blow to Bullseye, he says a couple words to Wolverine. Why are you doing this? You're supposed to be our friend. That's when Mysterio drops the illusion. He just killed the entire X-Men.
Who was Bullseye?
Everybody, including Jubilee, who was Bullseye.
Yeah, Jubilee was Bullseye.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about a holy shit moment. I mean, like, when I read that last page, I was just, well, okay, the last page with the Raptor, you know, Venom was pretty fucked up, too. But, I mean, when I read that last page of that sequence, I was just like, okay, so that's a good reason why you're now a farmer. Okay.
Holy crap.
So that was my favorite issue of, I mean, technically that's a 2009 issue, but it came out, the week of, I believe, the second, which was technically 2008, so it's technically a 2008 comic, so I'm going to leave it there. So that's right on the borderline for that. That was really, really good. I guess if you want to get an actual 2008 comic, I would say the issue of Amazing Spider-Man that ends with the reveal of J. Jonah Jameson Sr., which was pretty damn sweet, too, with Martin on art and Wade on the writing. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite miniseries, I'm going to say, was Age of Century, because talk about old school Silver Age action. That's totally it. So Age of Century would be that for me. And if you haven't read it, please read it.
Hey, Ian, did you give your favorite character yet?
Did I get my favorite character? No. Yes, I did. It was Nick Fury.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. You did go for it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, for that matter, I mean, you were talking just now, so let's get your favorite single issue and miniseries of 2008.
Let's see. Single issue, a lot of really good things to choose from. It was hard. I probably would have a different answer if you asked me tomorrow, but I'll say the I don't even know the number offhand, but the Thor issue where he makes peace with Cap. I think we haven't talked a lot about it tonight, but I do think that JMS had a really good year. You know, JMS can be great and he can be pretty bad. And this is pretty darn good year for him. I think Thor, the relaunch has been a critical and a commercial success.
And the 12.
And the 12, exactly. So he actually gets the nod for both for me. That the favorite issue, again, that Thor issue, I just thought it was very touching, really well done, and not in a cheesy way, you know. I mean, I thought it was handled right, and Thor stayed in character. It seems like the way that he would have handled that situation. And, and my favorite mini of the year, although it's not finished yet, but is the 12. I didn't actually pre-order that. I thought, not interested. And then after the first issue or two came out, a lot of people just kept raving about it. So I went to actually to Midtown, picked up the issues, and read them, and just thought it was fantastic. Just probably the most pleasant surprise out of Marvel this year. I didn't think it was going to be in continuity. I thought it was going to be some kind of random flashback book, but in fact, as you know, it's very much in continuity, and it's been terrific. So I look forward to it finishing up. It's been plagued by some delays here of late, but I trust we'll be seeing the end of it soon enough.
Oh yeah, no, we definitely will. Yeah, but it's. I mean, I don't hate on Avengers Invaders as much as some other people do. I mean, I think it's decent. It's just not that great. But the 12 is everything Avengers Invaders should be.
Yeah, I agree. Avengers Invaders is fine. It's a pretty book. Don't get me wrong, but. I just don't find it all that captivating a story. So
okay, cool. Well, there's your two. So we will switch it over to. All right, fine, Raf.
You know, the easy answer is Nova number 19 for the single issue, but as much as I like that issue, I don't think it beats another Thor issue. I'm not going to pick the Cap one because it's already, but I'm pretty sure it's issue 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think you know where I'm going with this. It's when he encounters Iron Man for the first time. And he's just like, you totally took my hair, dude, and that totally wasn't cool to clone me. And Iron Man's like, dude, I know. Listen, you want to register and stuff, dude? And he's like, bro, I don't want to register, man.
I wish it was written exactly like this.
And I mentioned it before, but that one lightning strike that destroys Iron Man's armor, and he's like, whoa, you never had this power level. And my favorite line in any Marvel book, most Marvel books, was that's because I've been holding back all these years. And I'm like, yes! I love when characters are ridiculously powerful, so much so that you can't contain them, and that when they fight, it's like ridiculously powerful bad. So I love seeing that Thor is now truly on par with, like, you know, World War Hulk and Sentry and all of them, and he could probably wipe the floor at Sentry because Sentry would just be crying in the corner over psychoses. So that is my favorite issue, Thor number 4, and my favorite miniseries, the 12 was mentioned. I'm going to go with, you know what, I'm going to sweep it with Thor. If it counts, I'd like to count the Fraction one-shots.
You can count it. I'll allow it.
Because you know what, because even though they're one-shots, they are a narrative that there's a narrative that goes through it. Like the first one's about how Thor is arrogant and that he doesn't. I mean, he only helps the gods when they beg him, and he's just, you know, this arrogant guy. And then the latest, not the latest one, but the second to last one was about how Odin creates the Destroyer armor to humble his son and sends him down to Earth as to be a doctor. And this isn't, you know, Donald Blake. This is like a Viking doctor. So I like the whole how Fraction took Thor's history and recreated it and reintegrated things. Like he mentions, like after the 25th Ragnarok, this happens with Thor. It was really great stuff. And if JMS for some reason has to leave Thor, I would love to see Fraction take over.
Yes, definitely. Surprisingly, you didn't mention Secret Invasion Thor.
Yeah, but I like the one shots a lot more.
Beta Ray Bill.
That's very true, but I just old. Like old school Thor, like back before he was a Marvel hero.
Yeah,
back
right,
when,
right.
Like, I love my mythology, so like it's quote unquote authentic Thor.
I'll allow it.
Objection.
Overruled. All right, Patrick.
Is it okay if I do one that finished in 2008 for a miniseries?
That's fine. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say Omega the Unknown.
Okay, wow. And you know, it's great you mentioned that because some people have really hated on that book.
And those people are idiots.
Okay, well, tell us.
There, I told you I was going to be opinionated.
Patrick, you're swinging and you're hitting home runs. Let us know why you enjoyed it so much.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It is possibly just the most quirky anti-Marvel comic book ever, and it's got the most interesting characters. It's got the most beautiful art style that fits the story it's telling. This comic, if this exact same story had been told with like Steve McNiven or Jack Kirby even, or anybody else, it just wouldn't work. Pharrell Dalrymple had to be the artist. He had to finish it. We got 10 issues and it's just and it's completely done. It's like, there's not going to be a sequel. We're not going to see Omega go out and meet Spider-Man. There wasn't, like, you know, sometimes you have a mini series with one of these characters and, like, you know, the third issue of the Avengers come in and, oh, hey, this is Omega. Oh, we'll have to keep our eye on him, you know, and they didn't have any of that. It's just own little universe and everything. And it was beautiful.
I have all 12 issues of this sitting in a box waiting to be read. So now I'm definitely going to have to give it a read.
10 issues.
Enjoy it.
Ten issues then. Well, whatever amount it was, I need to read it.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous, and it's well written.
And your favorite single issue?
Ooh, favorite single issue. I'm gonna go to my Spider-Man comics again. But I'm going
Spider-Man. Well, I'm going to have to make a sound effect. Honestly,
yes.
If you're going to be my co-host on the Geekspeak Report, every single time you mention Spider-Man, I'm just going to have to play like a Spider-Man bell or something.
Yes, whip splash is what it is.
but which that sounds a lot worse than it actually is.
but it's actually an issue that wasn't about Spider-Man. It's the one about Flash.
Okay.
There's one about Flash in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone here has read it.
I have read it, and that was a very, very, very...
The last issue was, or the last page was perfect.
Yeah.
And...
Does anybody here not know what happened and want to know what happened? Because it is totally, totally worth it.
This is so much better than Flash being, like, brain dead or whatever, in fact. This is...
Tony Parker...
Yeah, well, he pays a little bit for the Puny Parker thing because why don't you say it, Patrick?
Well, first of all, he's getting letters from Peter and like an iPod for Christmas and stuff. I don't know how Peter afforded that. But more importantly, his Flash is in an army hospital and he's retelling. They want to give him what award was it they wanted to give him?
The Medal of Honor, I believe.
Medal of Honor. And he's telling his end of the events of how he saw the events, and he doesn't think he deserves it. But basically, he saved his entire, like, 12-man group or like whatever. He went back, and he lost his legs. The last page of it reveals he lost both of his legs in Iraq. And this is all – and this isn't just, like, some, like, trite war story. Like, you would think, oh, they're just being topical or something. But you look – and this is actually, like, these guys did research and stuff. Like, they actually based this on somebody, like, that somebody knew.
I met him.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that, and that's awesome. I mean, this is, and it's got that bit of realism to it that you realize that this isn't just some writer guessing what it's like to have gone through this or whatever. I mean, this is, and so I think it's really well done. And I would not be surprised if it got nominated for an Eisner.
I would be there with you, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big issue.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculously touching. So, I mean,
yeah,
and in all the right ways. So, yeah, I would totally be there for you.
And you know, that was the Flash Thompson I used to know and love back before JMS came on board. Actually,
for the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, you know, or back before Paul Jenkins put him in a coma or irreversible brain trauma.
Well,
you know, this was. Or then, and then Peter David made him a jerk again. Didn't remember he was friends with Peter and stuff.
Well,
no,
he was getting there in Peter David's run. I mean, I wouldn't.
And then
wouldn't
they unmasked him and everything. Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah. I mean, this is the guy I knew back when J.M. DeMatteis was writing Spectacular Spider-Man right after Clone Saga, which was probably the best of the Spider books right after Clone Saga.
Yeah. Well, come on, DeMatteis writing anything is Spider-Man related is going to be great.
This is when he brought back the Kraven, who suddenly became Al Kravenoff and the Get Kraven stuff later on. Yeah. He brought back that Kraven and finished the Kraven story he started way back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Anyway, best issue. Yeah.
Well, that was a nice rat hole. All right.
Thank you. that was my spidey well.
So, yeah. Brandon, miniseries and single issue.
Miniseries is going to be a little bit hard for me, I believe, but I can tell you my single issue. It's going to be Invincible Iron Man number one.
Good.
And for the sheer fact that a lot of times we see Tony Stark as this person who's, you know, just doing things out of hubris because he believes that he has to. And then this is going to be part of my rant when I talk about the fall of Tony Stark. But he's got that hubris about him where he thinks that he's the only one who can protect us. But in that issue, we get the five things that he's afraid of. And especially within that first, I think it was three or four pages when, you know, they blow up that whole entire town and Africa. It's a real fear for Tony. You know, then also what got me was the image that was burnt in from the end of the cell phone that they received. That was just a chilling image because, you know, there are people out there who were absolutely like that. There are terrorist groups out there. There are things going on in that. There are things going on in the other parts of the world where you see why we need people like this, and you see why people have to. Well, you see why at least Tony has to do things like this, because if I were an inventor or if I had technology like that, you know, I would be afraid of my stuff being used for purposes of evil or being, you know, not just so much to adult my conscience, but, you know, because I'm just afraid that somehow this technology may be turned back on me one day. That's what it's really chilling. It's really chilling fear also. That's what I think was such a good solid issue for me, because that image alone of the cell phone, again, just burnt right in my brain. I'm like, oh, this could actually happen one day.
Yeah, it was drawn so well, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when the photorealistic nature of Waroka, I think, is the strongest.
But as for miniseries, though, I'm kind of torn.
Go with your gut.
I'm going to say, even though it was a kind of a bust at some point, Secret Invasion X-Men, I think, was actually okay in my book.
That's up there, yeah. I mean, come on, the frickin' Legacy Virus.
Yeah, I mean, the fact, you know, that if they want to use Legacy Virus, you know, bring up this evil, you know, which almost put mutants in extinction again. Also, I think the first issue that was really cool, the fact that, you know, the deity with Kurt, I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, how it took interest in Kurt.
Yeah, because he's the holiest guy in the X-Men.
Exactly, yeah.
He loves him.
He loves you.
He loved him a long time.
That's what she said.
Oh, wow. There's going to be a that's what she said count on this one as opposed to a my parents are dead count.
I didn't say it.
I know.
Wait, don't hang up, but it wasn't me.
That's fine.
Final
that's fine.
Spot episode.
It was me. I promise it was me. But one of the things that did piss me off a little bit about that miniseries though, Brandon, what was the deal with seeing Angel and Dark Angel and Archangel like three pages away, and it looked like Archangel had just gotten into the fight? Mm-hmm. Did the X-Men not notice that there were two of them? Maybe one of them was a Skrull. Just saying. All right.
It was a bait and switch. Bait and switch with Archangel. Bait and switch.
That's got to be it. That's got to be it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the rise and fall of Tony Stark, and then from there we'll go on to the last two questions, I guess, because we're gonna skip the talk about the tie-ins of Secret Invasion because we basically covered that already. But the rise and fall of Tony Stark at the end of Secret Invasion, leading into Dark Reign, that sort of thing. This was the year for Tony Stark. I mean, his movie came out. Iron Man did wonderful. And it seems as if Marvel, you know, sort of capitalized on that by making him the center point of the Marvel Universe. Whether this was intentional, whether or not, you know, they knew about it ahead of time, that's to be debated. But now we're seeing, at the end of this year, for every high point, there's a low. And now Tony Stark is there, because no longer is he trusted by anybody really in the Marvel Universe. He's all on his own. So where do we go from here? The rise and fall of Tony Stark. Are you yourself satisfied with it? Jason, are you satisfied?
Well, we'll see. It's really hard to answer that, I think, because we haven't seen the fall, really. I mean, we've seen indications that he is now about to have his status quo completely changed and even possibly, you know, hunted down and that sort of thing. But it all depends how they handle it from here. I've always liked Stark as a character, and I do agree that I think at some point he became too one-note and a little bit contrived that he would become so prominent a figure. Although, I think for much of Civil War it was handled reasonably well. But it just got to the point where it used to be Wolverine was the butt of every joke about being in every book, and it became pretty much Iron Man was almost literally in every mainstream Marvel book, if it was a cameo or what have you. But it just got ridiculous. So I'm glad that we're getting past that. But as someone who's always liked Stark and thinks he was well-intended, I hope we don't turn it into a cliche where he's just – hunted man and hated. I just don't think that's not the Tony Stark I want to read for very long. If it's a 4 to 6 month arc where they take him somewhere and then they get him back to somewhat of a quasi status quo pre-Civil War where he's back to being a hero, I'm all for it. But we'll just have to see. I don't know. 2009 will definitely be interesting from that perspective. I'm a little nervous, frankly, because I don't know how long I can tolerate a world where Norman Osborn is running roughshod over the Marvel Universe and Tony Stark is hated. That doesn't sit too well with me. I've got 30 years of comic continuity built in my brain that says that does not compute. So we'll see.
Well, here's a question for you, Jason. Is this going to bring Spider-Man and Iron Man sort of back together? Because now they're both, back to like the hated status.
Peter Single.
Because Spider-Man, people think he's the freaking Spider-Tracer killer. And Iron Man is now on the outs with, like, everybody. Mm-hmm. So is this going to bring them back together like they were with Civil War?
I suspect this is ultimately going to lead us to where I think a lot of us who are jaded, after Civil War ended, I think a lot of us thought, oh, it'll be 6 months and it'll be back to no registration act and mm-hmm. we'll just be back to it. I think to Marvel's credit, they didn't do that. That would have been the easy way. They didn't do that. But I do think that once the Dark Reign concept plays out in whatever way it's going to, whether that takes 6 months, a year, 2 years, I don't know. I think we'll get back to the point where we have no registration act. The heroes are the heroes, the villains are the villains. And I think this is how we get there, which is that Norman and the villains are now in charge of things. And I think the world starts to realize just how bad the registration act was, because it's going to let a guy like Osborn have control of things mm-hmm. and know everything about these guys and who their families are and what their powers are and what their identities are. And I think somehow, some way, Stark plays a role there, and he and the Avengers that have been on the run basically all get together and somehow find a way to get things back to where they were. They kind of see the light. But I hope it goes that way, but I suspect it'll take a while to get there.
Yeah, it certainly will. I doubt we'll know an answer until the end of 09.
Yeah.
All right, Raph, Rise and Fall of Tony Stark.
I absolutely love it because, I mean, okay, let's go back to Civil War. I mean, most readers were anti-Reg. So Tony came off looking like this huge, like, bad guy. And my first ever catchphrase on Comic Timing was, Iron Man is a douche. But really, I've always
What's
liked Tony.
I've been asking myself for 81 episodes about that, Jason, and I still don't know the answer.
Actually, let me. It's pregnant pauses. Pregnant pauses are comic.
Pregnant pause. That was your first one, yeah.
Yes. Oh, so Raph, continue before I hit you over the internet.
Okay. So essentially, most Marvel fans weren't sympathetic with Tony. And he's sort of the hero of the greater Marvel public, but the bad guy to the Marvel heroes who didn't register. And so he's also the most powerful man in the world. And then, for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, he was on top of the world and he had to deal with it and the consequences of it. And then Secret Invasion came along and he went from being on top to being completely just – they just took his face and just dragged it through the dirt. And now he's at this point where he's at the possibly his lowest point since his alcoholism. And I just want to see what Tony does. Like, how is he going to redeem himself? And, as in, like, just clear his name. I don't know if I'm pretty sure it's either going to be him or Fury that takes out Norman. But just what he's going to do with this. How is he going to – I mean, Extremis is gone. He doesn't have that Extremis stuff in him anymore. It got purged with the Skrull virus, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet. Don't tell me.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
we shouldn't tell you that Iron Man was a Skrull then.
Oh, yeah. No, also, it turns out that Pro Red's Tony Stark was a Skrull. Anyway, I just want to see what he does. I want to see what he does and how he approaches things because, like Wood said, I mean, we could all just go back to, being lovey-dovey and just, everyone's a hero, no one's registered anymore. But I don't think Marvel is going to take that tack because it's – even though it's been 2 years, I mean, they've set up too much stuff. They've created new titles out of Civil War. I mean, what's going to happen to the Initiative? What's going to happen to, other books? I just really am looking forward to Tony, getting – he needs to be the bad guy for a little bit, but I'm sure he'll find a way out of it, and he'll come out of it a lot better. And there'll be a reconciliation between him and the rest of the Avengers. And I can't wait for Iron Man to give Norman what's his.
Hear, hear. And what's his is a bunch of pumpkin bombs, probably.
And a spider fist in the face.
Yeah. Brandon,
I'm liking the fall of Tony Stark also because it's so Shakespearean in nature. Or, should I say Grecian tragedy? Because, every person has that one flaw, right? Every hero has that one flaw. And again, with
why
Tony
do we
Stark,
fall, you know, Master Bruce?
So we can learn to pick ourselves back up.
You never give up with all your outfit.
Never.
Never.
Classics never get old. All right, Brent.
No. But, it's pretty much true. Also, you have to fall to build yourself back up. And that's what Tony Stark has to do. Hopefully, at the very end of this, we'll see maybe a better, stronger, not so much in terms of power or technology, but in terms of mental physicality. Because, he's had this whole outlook on life where he had to be the best. Maybe to learn sometimes being the best isn't always a good thing. Sometimes you may have to take a second fiddle to someone. And hopefully with Tony, he's smart enough to realize, since he is a futurist, he's smart enough to realize that sometimes Iron Man won't always be needed. And Iron Man can't always be there. He's not Superman,
Nor should he be, because there can only be one.
I hate you all. Well,
here we are!
well, like when Brandon was saying like he needs to be like better or stronger, I was thinking like, he has to listen to Daft Punk?
Oh, jeez.
Oh. Yeah, that was bad even for me. Patrick, rise and fall of Tony Stark.
Meh.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Look, we've seen this before. The whole illusion of change things once again. We saw this with Armor Wars. We saw this with Galactic Storm. We saw this with Forceworks. We've seen Tony Stark goes up, Tony Stark goes down. I mean,
listen, I am not drunk, okay? I can fly that Iron Man through. You just let me. Anybody got more starch? Anybody? No.
That's the one thing they won't do with him again.
I hope not.
That's the one thing they can never do again is have him fall off the wagon. Because I think the only person that could pull it off would be Brubaker.
Because he's the only one who could write anything.
They did, though. They had him fall off the wagon again, though.
Was it a good story?
It was in Decimation.
No, that didn't count.
That
was like magic alcohol.
Oh, right. My name's Tony Stark, and I'm an alcoholic.
It was magic alcohol. Scarlet Witch said, "Give me more alcohol," and it made him like be drunk. We know that.
No, you mean no more booze?
No more booze. Can you imagine how sad all of the Marvel Universe would be if those words were uttered? Oh my God! What would Wolverine do with his life?
I'm sorry, this is a dry universe.
We would have a joke.
That's it, I'm going Ultimate.
You want booze? Go see the Ultimates. But they got zombies.
Look, on one hand, I had to put up with Jeff Loeb. On the other hand, there's booze. It's a wall.
And that sort of ties everything together, doesn't it?
Well, apparently alcohol has made Jeff a lot more tolerable.
So, all right. We'll move on from here to the last two questions, which I'm going to ask simultaneously because out with the old, in with the new. Any new titles that tickled your fancy this year that you would like to mention? Let's make that favorite new title. And what are you looking forward to most in 2009 and its upcoming Dark Reign? And who goes first this time?
You said Ian, you're host.
Yay, I'm going first, suckers. So, my favorite new title of 2008. Well, I already mentioned it for favorite writing team, so I guess I'm going to have to mention it for favorite title, and that would be Captain Britain and the MI-13. Someone should go back and listen to the end of Summer Special and see if that I said that was my favorite there too, but it's still my favorite because it's still the best title out there in Marvel Comics that's happened out of Secret Invasion. I mean, it started off as a Secret Invasion tie-in and now it's just doing its own thing, and everything it does is just old-fashioned fun. And that's really what I was looking for a new title in 2008, and that's what I got. It was something that even when it was tied into Secret Invasion was just genuine fun. And John the Skrull is John the Skrull. What can I say? I mean, sure, I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't read it yet, but something major happens to John the Skrull in that first arc there, but I'm not going to spoil it. You know, the stuff that they've been dealing with this past couple of issues with the whole, I guess, like, sort of apartment of fantasies, that's the best way to put it, because they find a place, like, a portal inside of this apartment that gives you, like, whatever pleasure you want. And, of course, you know, of course, sucks up your life force in the process, because nothing is for free. So they have to fight that, and that's been really, really good times. So that's what I'm going to say. What I'm looking forward to most in 2009 and the upcoming Dark Reign, two titles, Agents of Atlas and the Skrull Kill Crew, because both of which have been sorely, sorely missed, and they need to come back. And that's really all I'm going to say about 2009. Oh, and the upcoming Dark Reign. I hope that Emma Frost does not go evil totally again, because that would be very, very lame. I will leave it at that. Jason Wood, your turn.
Yeah, so let's see. I guess not a surprise, given some of the other things I voted for. My favorite new title of the year was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow, and not Deadpool. That's a shock.
No, look, I mean, I definitely have enjoyed Deadpool so far. So far, so good. But I'd like to see a complete, you know, 4-6 issues outside of the Secret Invasion stuff, which was cool. Very
zombie
cool stuff.
Nurses, come on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a little... I'm reserving judgment because I'm not sure Daniel Way has won me over completely based on his other stuff.
Same here.
Yeah, so but so far so good. So I'll just say that. Okay. Maybe in 2009 it'll be my favorite title. So Guardians gets that nod. In terms of what I'm looking forward to, you hit on one of the big ones for me, which is Agents of Atlas. That was a fantastic miniseries, and Jeff Parker is a guy that I think we'll be hearing a lot more about. He's been doing good stuff on X-Men First Class and some other things, and I think now that he's getting a chance to play in the mainstream 616 playground, I think his star is rising. Two other things, Jonathan Hickman co-writing with Bendis on Secret Warriors is mm-hmm. going to be terrific.
Yeah.
As you said, it's the return of Nick Fury. This time Fury is going to get to be an underdog. You know, he doesn't have S.H.I.E.L.D. At his helm. That's great. Some of the characters that they introduced through the Secret Invasion tie-ins in the Avengers and whatnot could really be awesome. I mean, Phobos. I mean, that's cool as hell. Little kid that's the God of Fear. That's awesome. And I'm a huge, huge Hickman fan. He's Nightly News, Pax Romana, even Transhuman I like. So I can't wait for him to play around in Marvel. And then the last thing that I'm looking forward to is my vote in 11 O'Clock Comics. We did a best of show, best of 2008. My vote for best comic of the year was Fear Agent, which is written by Rick Remender. Mm-hmm. It's his creator-owned thing, and it's alternating arcs are penciled by Tony Moore and Jerome Opeña. And so I'm looking forward to Remender is taking over the Punisher book, and Jerome Opeña is the new ongoing penciler.
Sweet.
So I think that's going to be a real treat as well.
Is that going to stop their Fear Agent stuff, though?
It's going to slow it down. Okay. But again, like many, many of these creator-owned things, while the quality is off the charts, frankly, they don't put much food on the table.
Right.
So as good as Fear Agent is, you know, the truth of the matter is, I would imagine if, you know, Punisher's probably going to outsell it 10 times a month. So, so yeah. My understanding is Remender's going to do maybe 6 issues of Fear Agent in 2009 with Tony Moore, and Opinio just going to focus on the Marvel stuff. But
that's fine.
Either way. So.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Raph.
All my favorite. Okay, I'm just going to be pretty much being repetitive. My favorite new title is Guardians of the Galaxy. Just all the characters and their quirks are so awesome. And Russian security chief guard dog, you can't really beat that. There are very few characters that beat that. And on that note, for 2009, I hope Dark Reign is more of the theme of the Marvel Universe rather than like a specific big event, because I'll feel better about it, and I'll feel better about Secret Invasion probably if I think of it that way. I'm really looking forward to Secret Warriors, because, you know, Fury on the run and with his ragtag crew, and you know, first time I've seen Angelina. I mean Daisy from us. In a long time, and it'll be great. I at least I hope so. I do trust Hickman. I've seen a lot of his work. Also, the Remender, Opinia, Punisher. I've got issue one. I haven't read it yet. It's right behind me right now. But I'm looking forward to that. And the other book I'm really looking forward to is, I'm assuming they're going to do it because the editor of Guardians of the Galaxy told me to do it, is Darkhawk. War of Kings is going to be – I'm looking forward to that. Darkhawk is going to have a 2-issue mini, and I'm hoping he at least gets another mini after that, if not an ongoing series for the most awesome armored person in the Marvel Universe that's not a billionaire or a cyborg.
And how sad is it that, and it's our Comic Timing review corner picking them up.
Yes! Thank you, God!
He's going to listen to that episode, I think, 750 times. All right. Well, it looks like Jason's got to deal with a son that just woke up. So let me outro him here. Jason, good having you on, buddy. And we can find you over at bullpenbulletinspodcast.com.
You got it, my friend. Thanks for having me on. And you guys have a good night. I got to tuck my son in here. He just woke up and is staring at me blankly. So, all right, guys.
Well, take care, Jason. Good having you back, man.
All
right. Hi.
Don't be a stranger. All right. There we go. That's Jason Wood. And
He didn't pee on the show.
No, he did not pee on the show. That's very good.
That we know of.
That we know of, yes. Yes. Thank you for reminding me, Patrick. All right. Okay.
That's why I'm here.
Hey, all right. Brandon Christopher, the floor is yours.
Well, my first answer really won't count.
We'll make it count, sucker.
All right. I'm going to say, not so much new series. I'm going to take my fancy, but I'm going to say new branding of a series. And it's going to be Spider-Man. I'm going to go with the Patrick's well for a couple minutes here. And
yeah, get out of my well.
That's what she said.
Oh, God.
Nice.
Wish I could slap you through the internet really sometimes.
Another reason why Raph just has to make his way to Florida. We're just going to keep saying it, Raph.
The whole new branding experiment has been such a phenomenal success in my mind because it takes me back to my childhood. You know, even though I was, you know, reading Spider-Man as a married. As a married person, even in the 90s, didn't feel like it sometimes because he was always off by himself and always had MJ doing something in the corner, sometimes like knitting or baking or being in the kitchen where she belongs.
I'm pregnant barefoot for a while. Too.
Get in the kitchen and make me some pie. Wheat cakes. Nothing but wheat cakes.
Wheat cakes, that's right, yeah. But it's good to see Peter Parker back, you know, being Peter Parker, and now after the whole slightly depressing JMS stuff, you know, where he's, you know, man on the run, you know, my life sucks even more than usual. I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, blah, 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 blah. It's just good to see a happy-go-lucky Peter Parker again. It makes me kind of happy.
So it makes you happy?
Yeah, it makes me happy.
Good. I'm glad it makes you happy.
It's like it's magic, I think. It makes me happy.
It's magic. You don't have to explain it.
Exactly. And as for Dark Reign, I want to see Dark Avengers because it looks pretty interesting, you know.
Mm.
Avengers with a twist of lime into it.
With a twist of lime. I don't. It must be almost 1 a.m. because that was funny to me.
But, I could say Avengers of Swash of Evil, but that wouldn't work so well either.
Yeah, although it sort of does. Well, that actually leads me to ask this question: who do you think the what is it, like Iron Avenger or whatever it is? Who do you think that is?
Ronan.
Really?
No, not at all. I have no freaking clue.
Well, it's a robot.
Rich Johnson brought up an interesting point. What if it's Luke Cage?
Working both sides of the law this time?
No. Did you read New Avengers? The first New Avengers issue with the new place and everything?
Not as of yet, no.
Okay, do you mind if I spoil?
Please.
Go ahead.
Okay, at the end of that issue, the baby's still missing, obviously. So, when the new team forms, Luke is trying every single avenue he can possibly find until eventually he goes to Norman Osborn's door and he's in the office and Norman said, sign the papers and the baby's yours. We'll do whatever we can to find him. And Luke is like, just do whatever you need. So it looks like Luke might be switching sides here.
Hey, wait a minute. Have you guys read War Machine?
I haven't read it yet, no.
Okay, so I'm spoiling War Machine now. At the end of the issue... Okay, basically, War Machine is a cyborg now, and it's the system he's currently set up in is unstable, and he needs to get out of it, but at the end of the issue, there's a... Norman attacks this installation, and he tries to get this thing, and he succeeds, and at the very last panel, we see him standing in front of this tube with a body in it. It says James Rhodes, like, 2.0. What if he takes that and, like, takes... Because the Iron Avenger it looks like Tony Stark's armor. Why can't he implant someone and, you know, take Tony's armor from him? Not Tony's armor.
Floor machine?
Yeah, could be.
Chlor machine.
It's like, what is this? What is this? Force Works all over again, or West Coast Avengers?
Yes, actually, yeah, it is. You
know, yeah, I mean, come on, did we have Rhodey take over Iron Man before? I think it's better.
Well, not Rhodey. This wouldn't be Rhodey. I mean, this would be a clone. This is a cloned body, apparently, but like someone else's brain, maybe.
Well, no. Okay, Raph, you just totally went off the rails. And I'm just going to have to rein you in here because the reason that Patrick is laughing so much, it's because that is the stupidest idea I've ever fucking heard.
I know.
And it's going to be true. It's going to be true.
Probably will.
Only at 1 o'clock in the morning could we think this up?
Because why would it be Rhodey's body in somebody else's brain? Because... what the fuck do you want? To be like a clone of Tony Stark's brain inside of Rhodey's body?
I knew they were gay!
Wait, it could be worse. It could be... Oh, I was about to say that too. Teen Iron Man. Oh, God.
I'm dirty. Must be clean.
Or it could be Norman himself, and he's just like sticking it to Iron Man. We don't know.
All right. Patrick.
Well, actually, that would make sense, though, actually.
Patrick, please. Give me your new title and what you're looking forward to the most. In 2009.
I did not buy a single new number one or new title in 2008.
Seriously?
Wow. Yep.
Wow.
No new Marvels. I did not. I'm racking my brain, and I don't think I bought other than Secret Invasion. That was, I think, the only number one I bought.
Default.
No, wait. You know, I did buy Scar. That came out, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
I didn't buy number two, but I bought number one.
Well, did you like it? Obviously not, so I guess that can't be your answer.
So it has to be by default, I guess. It's only number one I bought. But no, I mean, I don't know. I kind of hit my mainstays. You know, I read the X-Men, I read X-Factor, I read Spidey, I read, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Gosh.
Hey, wait. I might have found your loophole. Did you pick up the Waylon Miller X-Factor one-shot?
Ooh. Yes, I did. Okay. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Victory is mine.
So, yeah, there you have it. Layla Miller. That was my number one.
Well, Brandon, please make your addition before Patrick says the rest of his stuff.
If one shot's worked in, I want to say Avengers Initiative, annual this year?
Yeah.
The one with Komodo and what's his face?
Very memorable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Very memorable. Ooh. What's his face? Was it Hardball? Great issue. What's this guy?
Hardball, right?
Hardball, yeah, and finding out he was actually working for Hydra, that was pretty freaking cool.
That was pretty awesome, yeah. But, okay, Patrick, continue. And what are you looking forward to the most in 2009?
I don't really know, like, a whole lot of, like, what's going to happen. I try to stay away from, like, solicits and stuff like that. I really do. I try to not know what's happening until, like, the day it happens. So I couldn't tell you, like, oh, such and such a thing's coming.
What do you wish will happen in 2009, then?
I wish I could get a pony.
In the Marvel Universe.
Oh, in the Marvel Universe. I wish Stephen Colbert would be president. No, wait.
No.
No. You know, I want to see the Menace thing get cleared, you know, finished in Spidey. I want so they can go on to something new. I think that's what I want to see. I want to see Menace, and I want to see Spider-Man throw down with Norman Osborn. I know everyone's like, "Oh, Tony's going to have to come back and kick." No. It's Spider-Man. Spider-Man deserves to show the entire country who this guy really is. And that's got to be what happens, man. Otherwise, it's just not fulfilling to all the years of Spider-Man versus Green Goblin and all that. So this has got to be a Spider-Man story, Dark Reign.
I know who actually Norman Osborn really is. You want to know?
Sure.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
I mean that's the way that, you know, Deodato draws him, so it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you can see how we're all just taken with that.
All right.
I mean, listen to us go on.
Well, before we get to the forum comments, we do have that comment from the co-host who's usually on the show, Mr. Cassina, and here is his take on Marvel in 2008. It's really fucking long. Sit back and relax and enjoy.
Hey there, folks. This is a special exterior-interior comic timing edition of BK's Bullets. As Brent fucked up and wasn't paying attention to his schedule, and thus was not on the Marvel year-end wrap-up episode like he was planning on. The reason for this was a very, very important reason. You see, most of the time, I put comic timing before any of my other fun stuff. Ian says we're going to record on a night. We're going to record on a night. I'm not going to plan anything else. The problem was, when we were planning this thing, I was at home in Orlando spending holiday time, and I was like, yeah, first Thursday back, whatever the day it is, the 8th, January 8th, no problem. And then it got to be today, January 8th. Here it is, 3:13 p.m. in the afternoon. And I realized, oh, fuck, I messed up big time because the BCS National Championship game featuring the Florida Gators and the Oklahoma Sooners is tonight at 8:30 p.m. or 8 p.m. kickoff at 8:17. So I'd been making plans for this, and just, you know, last night or early this morning, I was like, crap, I gotta do something with Ian and figure this out. So rather than mess up Wood's schedule, because, you know, we've been trying to get him on the show and Raph and whoever, if Ian gets a substitute on for me, we just decided, Brent, just record your shit and send it off, and he'll put it in at the end. So here we are. I have the forum thing pulled up, and I'm going to kind of roll with it as we're going through this here. So if it's a little uneven, please forgive me. This is kind of last minute, and I'm trying to go to the game or go watch the game in 2 hours. We're going to watch it in the big basketball arena with all the fans and shit. So it should be a lot of fun. And if we win, we're gonna storm the streets like we did 2 years ago, and this can be great. But hey, what can you do? You know, shit happens. So anyway, I will be there for the DC year-end wrap-up. You goddamn right I will. I'm going to move heaven and earth for that to happen. And Review Corner, I'm editing that as I'm recording this or taking a break. Whatever, you're going to have that. So get off my back, you monkey. All right. Satisfied with Secret Invasion and its finale? Was I satisfied? Frankly, no. I thought that Norman Osborn just coming back up and shooting the Skrull Queen, as you probably heard in the Review Corner or whatever, is kind of silly. It's like, I read an issue number 7, and I thought the Skrull was dead there. I thought that bitch was dead when Hawkeye shot her in the mouth with an arrow. But no, apparently she just, you know, we don't see anything of her at the end of that issue. She just pops up again in issue number 8 and says some shit, and Norman Osborn just takes a shot, It was like, wow, that was convenient because Hawkeye did it fucking 5 minutes ago and weakened her for you, so we should give Hawkeye the position. I mean, it's just, it was really, really dumb the way they did it, I thought. As a whole, though, I really did like the event. What I liked the most about it was not necessarily the main series, but were the Mighty Avengers and New Avengers tie-ins at the beginning. At the beginning, I'm going to qualify that. You know, at the end, it was kind of like they're kind of falling off the wagon or whatever, but the New Avengers tie-ins with the Jim Chung art, I loved. Those are my favorite issues of the all the tie-ins. Mighty Avengers, there were a couple issues that were okay. The rest of them I felt were a little bit weaker than the New Avengers ones. So I would say that I thought New Avengers had the better storylines there. But as the main series itself, I thought it was okay. It was enjoyable. The one thing I did have a problem with was it didn't seem like Bendis' writing style was coherent in, not coherent, but consistent. We started off the first couple issues, not first-person narrative, but, you know, third-person. Things are happening now in the present. As they happen, we're following them. And then we got to, I don't know whether it was issue 4 or 5. I think it was 4, yeah, 4 or 5. The one with the Skrull on the cover that they were using as promotional masks or whatever at conventions. And that one was kind of like some diatribe from God knows whoever. Probably one of the Skrulls, I think. But it showed you Agent Brand in space. And it was really like a couple of panels were like some big zoom scene zooming out from the Earth and into space and seeing the people on the blown-up sword ship, satellite thing, whatever. I thought that was a little bit weird, and I was like, all right, well, you know, hopefully next issue we'll get back to the action in the present kind of thing. And we did, and then, you know, issue 7 came along, and I was like, all right, I'm ready for this. What's going to happen next? What's the big thing that they're not telling anybody? What is Dark Reign? Whatever. And then 8 came along, and it started out, you know, like one of those Alias episodes where it goes, you know, it starts off, at commercial break says Alias, boom, and you start off and Sydney's Bristow is in danger, like up to her head in piranhas, and you know she's wearing like a thin wetsuit, and the piranhas are eating away at it, you know, exposing skin and gonna eat her or whatever. And then all of a sudden it says Alias, commercial break, and then when you come back from the commercial, it comes back and says 4 days ago, you know, 4 days earlier, whatever. One of those plot devices that just felt like that was really, really crappy. Them. I'm gonna stop playing with this pen. It's just making noise. So I just felt that was a little weird, a weird way to end. I would have rather just it happened in the now, like most of the series was written, you know? So I think it's going to read a little bit weird in the trade because you didn't have that whole feeling across the whole series, you know? So it wasn't, the writing wasn't quite consistent. So yeah, that's what I thought of Secret Invasion. It was alright. Wasn't the best event ever. I think Civil War maybe was a little bit more consistent in writing style. But what I did like about Secret Invasion was that it came out consistently. You know, we only had that little thing at the end of 2008 with the two-week delay, which is all right with me. You know, give Lionel Yu some time to really focus his stuff. And I thought the art on Secret Invasion was great. I loved Lionel Yu's stuff on New Avengers, the nitty-gritty, dirty, scratchy shit. I thought it was way cool. I did... Some at one point think maybe this is a little too scratchy, but you know they put him on Secret Invasion, and they put an inker on him. Mark Morales did a great fucking job of inking him, and it just made it. And the colors by Laura Martin, I think, really brought the whole thing together. You know, because if you had the New Avengers Lionel Yu, it would have been a little bit different product, and I think a lot of people would not have been as happy with it as they were. I know some people don't like Lionel Yu's artwork. Frankly, I really think he's one of the better artists out there. And I'm happy that he was able to do, I don't know, whatever, however many issues of New Avengers it was, 10 or 11 in 2007, and then, you know, skip like 2 months or so and let the annual come out, and then go right into Secret Invasion like, you know, like it was nothing, and have that come out consistently, you know, almost month after month after month at the same time. It was really nice to see that in my box every month, you know, from Heroes Corner. So that was pretty nice. Breakout title of 2008 from Marvel. I didn't really pick up any of the miniseries. I thought Captain America was a bit of a letdown at the end of the Man Who Bought America story arc and the new one that's going on right now. It was good overall, but I'm just going to have to say that that was definitely not it. I mean, breakout title, it's hard because there wasn't anything to me that stood out and said, this is a great fucking series, Brent, you have to get this. Actually, it was Matt Fraction Thor miniseries. Man of War, God of War, whatever. He had 3 one-shots with the guy who was on the Iron Man arc. Anyway, I thought those were great. So, to me, breakout title, Matt Fraction on Thor. Those one-shots. And then all those 3 one-shots were double-sized, and they were kind of... And they all tied together. It was kind of weird that they put them out as one-shots and not as a limited series. But I guess it was kind of smart on their part, because as a one-shot, they could just put it out whenever on the schedule and not have to worry about, oh, when's the next issue coming out? You knew there was one coming out. You know, you just didn't know when. And it wasn't a big deal because it wasn't a series, so kind of forgot about it. Reign of Thunder, or it's like Thor, Ages of Thunder, Thor, Reign of Blood, Thor, Man of War. Those are my favorite. That's my breakout title, 2008. Most disappointed out of Marvel, I guess Captain America really let me down. I did not like the way Iron Man, Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. ended. Just kind of felt it ended on a whimper. The Knopfs kind of wrapped up their thing, which I thought was great. And then we got the 4-issue Stuart Moore arc, which was a little uneven with 2 artists and 2 different storylines that... tried to wrap up together at the end, and then we go into Secret Invasion, War Machine, which was all right, but it just didn't feel like War Machine was doing anything that important in that title, which is why ultimately I'm not going to get the new War Machine series. So I guess that's what disappointed me most out of Marvel. Favorite writer artist team of 2008, I'm going to have to go with Bendis and Lionel Yu. I like Bendis. He's probably my favorite Marvel writer. Lionel Yu, like I was talking about his art before, pretty good. Wonderful. I think it's definitely consistent. I can follow his storytelling for the most part. There are some problems, but I mean, hey, with anything, you're going to have some problems, Favorite Marvel character of 2008? I'm going to go with Spider-Man. Spider-Man was my favorite character of 2008. You want to talk about consistency? Fucking Brand New Day was great. I listened to the 2007 year-end wrap-up that Ian and Raf and I did of Marvel and DC or whatever, and I know we were all bashing Joe Quesada when those came out, and we were wondering what the hell was going to happen, but man, did they, prove us all wrong with those books. 36 issues in a year, some great, great teams. You had McNiven, you had Bacalo on a couple issues, you had John Romita Jr., Phil Jimenez... Mike McCone, I loved his stuff on Spider-Man. Just, it was really, really consistent. Marcos Martin, the Mark Waid issues that came out in December or November, the Subway ones with J. Jonah Jameson's father, that was some great stuff. God, great stuff came out of Spider-Man. It's just amazing that, it's like, why didn't we do this before, and why... what took so long for you to get Straczynski off the book and put some fresh blood into this character? I won't say that it was the undoing of the marriage that put the fresh blood in the character. I think it was the catalyst of that and the team that they got behind the book that put the fresh blood in the character. I think they could have done these same stories with Mary Jane married. Truthfully, they could have done these same stories and not have any problems at all and with the same writers and artists in the teams, but I think... they needed some kickstart, jumpstart, so that they wouldn't have to worry about continuity or anything like that. I mean, obviously they're worrying about it a little bit, but not a whole lot, seems like. But we are getting some answers, I think. So, it took them a year to get some answers, but I think we're going to get there finally. But I thought it was really, really consistent, and I was actually surprised that I stayed on. It was really, really fun. New titles that tickled my fancy, again, I didn't really pick up anything new from Marvel other than the Thor one-shots. So, no, I guess not. Satisfied with the rise and fall of Tony Stark? I'd say yeah. I think what I really liked was that one issue of Invincible Iron Man number 8 that came out, and number 7 as well. The Matt Fraction, again, He's got to be like my favorite writer from Marvel, other than Bendis right now. Just putting out some amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah, number 7 was great with Spider-Man taking that one shot of Iron Man with his mask up, sitting on all the devastation after that Stain had attacked him. You know, and then number 8 kind of went on that same level where Tony Stark is now like almost crippled. He doesn't have Extremis anymore, which I'm interested to see what happens there, because I was reading Iron Man, and that's why I kept on reading, because I was interested in this Extremis storyline and what it was doing to Tony Stark, and now it's gone, so how is he going to live with that? So yeah, I was pretty satisfied. It's just the way they went about it with the fall, I think, is a little bit contrived. So we'll see where it goes from here, whether it's an all-out hunt for Tony Stark, but you know, to me, it doesn't scream to me that this was Tony Stark's fault. I mean, yes, granted, he's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., and if someone were to invade us, we'd have the heads of the FBI and CIA and NSA, you know, with their all jobs would be under suspicion, their job security. But, you know, would they go and outright fire him, maybe? I mean, I can't say that they would. If it gets past somebody, it gets past somebody. It's not exactly their fault. It just means that the fucking alien Skrulls are pretty damn good at what they do. You know, blending in as other people. I think they did a damn good job of you know, blending in the Marvel Universe that nobody saw it. And Nick Fury, if he knew all along what the fuck was going on, then why didn't he tip anybody off? That's what I didn't understand. Nick Fury has known about this for a while, or at least it seemed like that in the Maliv issues or whatever, because it didn't really give us a timetable, but it seemed like he's known about this from a little while after the Secret War that Bendis wrote. So why didn't he set up some contingency plan or tip off anybody or make sure you could trust somebody? You know, it just seemed really weird. Like, your contingency plan is a bunch of teenagers, really? Honestly, that makes no sense whatsoever. His contingency plan should have been, you know, finding out whether Reed Richards was the real deal and having him build that Skrull machine detector gun that he used in, like, issue 6 or 5 or whatever, you know, 3 months earlier, you know, and this would not have happened. So, if anybody, I blame it on Nick Fury for standing by and watching it happen. And being too paranoid to actually reach out for people, you know, I wouldn't want to blame it on Tony Stark. He had so many other things going on with the Civil War and the Initiative and the Hulk. No wonder it got past him, because the man has had a busy year. So I think it's a little heavy and unnecessary for them to blame it all on Tony Stark. But I mean, hey, this is a storyline. So Fraction is a good writer. He's going to make a good storyline out of that. So I'm sure I'll be pretty happy with that. Single issue and miniseries of 2008. Again, Fraction on Thor. Ages of Thunder, Rain and Blood, Man of War. Favorite single issue, probably the first one. Ages of Thunder miniseries, that whole thing. Done. You mean I talked about it earlier, why? Tie-ins for Secret Invasion. I only got the tie-ins that I was already getting. Those were New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, and I think Avengers Initiative, as well as Iron Man. I think it was the only one. The Punisher War Journal one was fun. Again, 24-25. Pretty fun issues, you know, just Frank shooting the shit out of everybody, like the World War Hulk tie-in at number 12, just shooting the shit out of everybody. I love that issue too, the World War Hulk tie-in to Punisher War Journal, another Fraction book. You see a pattern here? But I would have to say that the Secret Invasion New Avengers tie-ins were the strongest. Yeah, I thought the Mighty Avengers was a little bit of a mixed bag most of the time. I did not get the Front Line or the Choosing Sides or the Special Skrulls issue or anything like that, so... You know, I guess it lived up. I mean, New Avengers, I gotta give it to them. It was the best tie-in, I thought. Looking forward to the most in 2009 and Dark Reign. I mean, how can you not look forward to Dark Reign? It's the only thing you really have to look forward to. I don't read X-Books. Kind of follow them a little bit, but I don't, you know, buy them all the time. Maybe I'll pick it up in the shop and, you know, if I'm in a shop and I'll browse through it or whatever, read Wikipedia, you know. I mean, read the reviews. I don't read X-Books, so... Honestly, I don't know what's coming up for them. What's really got me interested and excited is Dark Avengers. I want to see who's on the team, who they are, why they're doing what they're doing, and what the hell is going on, and how it relates to Tony Stark and the New Avengers. I'm glad the New Avengers were finally getting the team back after these, you know, mishmash issues of who's on the team, who's not on the team. I'm good to see that we finally found an artist, Billy Tan, on New Avengers. Some of those tie-in issues he did at the end of the Secret Invasion stuff, pretty good, and the one that did come out in December, you know, the post-Secret Invasion one with the new Captain America on the team, with Bucky on the team, we got original Spider-Woman back. I mean, it's almost like, you know, the gang's all here. The original cast is back. Some of them are different people. Some of them are the same, you know, but it's pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to New Avengers and how that ties into Dark Avengers and stuff. You know, both Bendis books, I think, hopefully, that they'll tie in more together than he said that New and Mighty would when those two came out, because they really didn't. No. I mean, the Mighty Avengers were in New Avengers, but really, they had nothing to do with each other. You could have just read one. I'm kind of a little bit miffed about that. But, I mean, I wanted to read both, and, you know, I'm same thing with Dark Avengers. I want to read both. And as for Mighty Avengers with Dan Slott, I mean, he's done some good stuff. I liked the initiative when he was on it. I liked his Spider-Man stuff, so I'll probably give Mighty Avengers another shot and see how that first storyline turns out. It's got an interesting cast, and I don't know if a lot of them are meant to be Avengers, but we'll see. I'm talking about the Young Avengers. Well, they've already been... Yeah! So, anyway, that's my little spiel. Sorry for missing it, guys. Wood, I'm sorry I missed you talking to you. I know we talked with you on episode 50. I've been listening to 11 O'Clock Comics like crazy now. Love your show. It's fucking awesome. Raph, I can't believe you're not coming to MegaCon. Whatever. And mystery guest, what's up? And Ian, I'll talk to you later. All right, so thanks, guys, for letting me ramble, and hope you don't hate me.
So, do we hate Brent or not?
Absolutely.
Son of a bitch. Can't stand the bastard.
So say we all?
So say we all!
Okay, good. That'll work with me. Well, he did have plenty to say there, and thank you, Brent, for contributing, even if you couldn't be here. I don't hate you. Don't worry about it. We're still friends. And let's talk a little bit about what Brent said and whether or not, you know, we agree or disagree. I know that Brandon had a problem with one of the things he said, so why don't you touch on that, Brandon?
Which one?
Cap.
No, that was Raph.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, no, seriously, Cap was disappointing.
Yeah.
That's what he said?
That's
really?
What he said, yeah.
I mean, we went from Bucky to not being sure about being Cap to him flinging that effing shield around and shooting Hydra agents in the kneecap. How is that not awesome? How is him, like, just jumping into the middle of Secret Invasion and kicking all kinds of Skrull ass not awesome? This was a good year for Cap.
I agree.
This is a really good year for Cap.
What? Yeah. I totally agree with that. Yeah, I mean, Brent will be able to explain himself, I guess, next time he's on the show. But well, and the Spider-Man thing, yeah. Sorry, Patrick, he went to your well.
Yeah. You know, I'm just, everyone has to get, you know, dipped into my well every once in a while.
So
I guess.
Is it an ink well or is it a water well?
You would think it's water. And you hope it's water, but it's not water.
Thank you for thoroughly keeping me out. Yeah. Any other comments to be made on Brent's comments?
I didn't pay attention.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's
you know, it didn't seem that important because it didn't involve me.
Oh, come now.
He did say, "What's up to mystery guest," which would be me. So
yes,
I'll take that.
Sup, mystery guest? Word.
Yo.
What up?
Yo.
Yeah. Raph, you got any more comments?
Although I'm surprised. I thought he was picking up more stuff from Marvel.
Yeah, well, he's been cutting back as much as anybody's been cutting back, I think. Like, and he's always been more of a DC guy.
That's true. I just had this idea that Brent was picking more stuff up earlier in the year, but whatever.
I love those previously on Alias comments, too.
Yeah, that was... Pilatus eat her clothes off.
Yes.
And then 4 weeks later.
The cellophane bathing suit.
Oh, God. Is anyone read Empowered?
No.
Oh, you've got to read Empowered.
Yeah.
It's about this girl, the superheroine Empowered. She gets her powers from the super suit and it makes her super strong and she has energy blasts, but it's the slightest rip will cause her to lose most of her powers, and frequently she finds herself bound or gagged or tied up or something.
Beautiful.
It's by Adam Warren, who did Dirty Pair.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so, it's really cool stuff.
So it's like the Pro. Gotcha.
Yeah, not as explicit as the Pro, but yeah. Pro.
Yeah.
Semi-pro-ish.
Yeah.
Semi-pro, there you go.
Semi-pro.
Available on DVD.
Right.
Very good. All right, so thank you very much yet again, Mr. Casino. We'll see you next episode, hopefully. Now, from here, we've got the forum comments. Now, as opposed to me reading them, I'm going to make you guys read them because I'm an evil bastard. Before we do the forum comments, we lose one more person on this call, but that seems to be the theme of the night. So Patrick.
Then there were three.
And then there were three. Patrick has to go walk the doggies. So let's roll him out of here. You want to give people your website one more time?
One more time. It's freaksandsqueaks.com. Or you can just Google Freaks and Squeaks. It's the funniest comic about teenage mice that you'll read at that website.
That is the best glowing endorsement for anything I've ever heard.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
It's been fun. Thank you, everyone. It's been nice chatting with all y'all.
And I'm very happy you don't have a heavy Minnesota accent, because that would have been awkward.
Oh, yeah. Well, there. Hey, you know, Minnesotans, we all talk like we had a stroke.
Maverick. Maverick.
Maverick. You're such a maverick sometimes, Patrick. You really are.
I just got up there, and I'm Patrick the Cartoonist, you know, and I maverick my way through making my comics, don't you know?
All right, Patrick.
It's been fun.
We'll talk to you on Geekspeak Report.
Oh, we sure will.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll get to hear that in about 4 or 5 years, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Go fuck yourself, Ralph. Yeah. All right, okay, all right. So,
I tried.
Ow. Talk to you later, Patrick. There is Patrick saying his bye-byes. So now it is time for us to read forum comments, or more like you. So we will begin with Mr. Raph Suhu. Talk normal or I'll kill you.
This forum post is by Matthew Guy 1977. Or M Guy 1977. Really, it's Matthew Guy. Okay.
Anyway.
Welcome back, Matthew. After World War Hulk and the crappy event that was, I avoided Secret Invasion like the plague. Only because I have zero interest in Skrulls or any Skrull-related events from Marvel. Spending my money mostly
on... No, I'm really liking the way this is going, so please continue.
Spending my money mostly on...
God, music. He can't keep it up. He seriously can't keep it up.
He really can't. Oh,
All right, come on.
Spending my money mostly on Brubaker title artist on said Brubaker title, Criminal, Captain America, Daredevil, Uncanny X-Men issue 500 to present, Old Man Logan from Wolverine mini-event from the team that did Civil War, and yes, even Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane five-part mini-series by Terry Moore was my favorite mini-series. Plus,
you know, this sort of sounds a little bit like, have you ever seen that video that a guy did about like an angry letter, like from an angry noob that he wrote, that he read like dramatically?
Yeah, I think I have. I think that's what I'm channeling here.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, continue.
Plus, buying many omnibuses in 2008 to get my Marvel fix. Three Daredevil omnibuses, two by Miller and one by Bendis, and Daredevil hardcover by Kevin Smith.
Is it omnibuses or omnibuy? No. I'm being serious here. Is it omnibuses or omnibuy?
Omnibuy.
Omnibuy. Okay, all right.
All right. The brand new change in the 616 forced me to go to Ultimate Spider-Man hardcovers to get my Spidey fix elsewhere, and I'm on the 6 hardcover currently. My favorite Marvel character is Daredevil with Captain America, close second. My favorite Marvel artist is Steve Ditko and Captain America. The rise and fall of Tony Stark doesn't matter that much to me, because once Iron Man 2 movie is out, things will go back to the status quo. The favorite issue from Marvel in 2008 was Captain America number 34, where the new Cap is revealed. What I am looking forward in 2009 the most is the new Incognito series, and yes, another Daredevil omnibus, but this one from Brubaker, and finishing off the John Byrne Fantastic Four Visionaries with Volume 0. And the only thing dark... The only Dark Reign tie-in I'm getting is Uncanny X-Men Annual number 2, because I like the new direction the title is going. Best wishes to all in 2009, Matthew.
I can see why you got voice acting work.
Wait, he got voice acting work?
I just can't keep composed for
it. Yeah. Raph is a voice actor now.
Wait, you do ADR? Who let you do ADR?
Tell people about your gig, Raph.
Oh, I am on... I am featured in Beta Flight number 3 as Airwolf. That is a new audio drama podcast series produced by one Alan New Mutant White. It is available if you just go on the forum and find him and ask him.
Cool.
I don't have a link.
Yeah, I know. I figured as much. Well, I'm going to have to get in on one of those eventually. All right, so thank you very much, Matthew, for your comments there. Agree or disagree with what was just stated? Most of his stuff there. I mean, the Daredevil stuff is pretty interesting. And he seems to agree with us in a lot of things. You know, Captain America being good as opposed to Frank Cassino, who's the one person who thinks that it wasn't good. By the way, his team won, so he's happy now.
That's why he's out rioting instead of being on the show.
Yes, exactly. But, yeah, thoughts on what Matthew had to say?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
It's hard to argue with the guy.
Cool. Well, the only Dark Reign tie-in he's getting is Uncanny X-Men Annual number 2. Is that going to be a Dark Reign tie-in even?
It's all about Emma.
Oh, okay. All right. I gotcha. Well, okay. That should be cool because it's about Emma. So, all right. I agree. All right. Moving on. We are moving on to my favorite, Mr. Spidey. I love saying it this way. Spidey Stuke. Even though I know that it's Spidey, E-U-K. Oink. Spidey S-D-E-U-K or something, whatever. Brandon, you want to read this one?
Sure. How satisfied were you with Secret Invasion and its finale? Secret Invasion was great, but not fantastic. Norman Osborn is now head of everything awesome, but what does that do to Amazing? What is your breakout title for 08? Guardians of the Galaxy and Ms. Marvel were brilliant, and I enjoyed every minute of it and wanted to see more of it. What disappointed you the most out of Marvel? Amazing Spider-Man and Secret Invasion Spider-Man. This book is now becoming embarrassing.
Jackpot not being Mary Jane just made me want to rip the annual apart. All right, there we go. Say it like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's right. He's British guy. Yeah. We're going to rip the annual apart. Amazing 600 is going to be my last if it continues to disappoint me. Give us your favorite writer-artist team of 08. Writer, Edward Baker, one word to describe his work. Brilliant. Artist, Lionel Francis Yu, perfect choice for the event books. For my team, for team Matt Fraction, Terry Dodson, X-Men is finally readable again for me. Who was your favorite Marvel character of 08? Thor or Luke Cage? Bendis has done a great job with Cage. Any new titles to your fancy? Invincible Iron Man. Are you satisfied with the rise and fall of Tony Stark? Yes, it was great. I can't wait to see how Stark tries to renew himself in the public eye. Also, please give us your favorite single issues in the miniseries of 08. Issue, Invincible Iron Man number 7, Ms. Marvel Annual number 1. Miniseries, 1985, such a great series which we've seen.
Oh, shit! I totally forgot about that.
Shit-ass car.
God damn it. That was great. I mean, Tommy Lee Edwards on art and Mark Miller. Oh, my God, man. Mm-hmm. That was really fun.
Fuck it, cheap. Yeah.
Did the tie-ins for Secret Invasion live up to the title itself? No. The majority of them, except for New Mighty Avengers and Inhumans, were awesome. The rest were just meh.
Meh.
Lee.
Thor was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
X-Men also, as we said before, as well. And finally, what are we looking forward to most in 09? Invincible Iron Man, Ms. Marvel, and what's happening involving Spider-Man and Norman Osborn with Dark Reign. Upcoming Dark Reign, I'm looking forward to it, but the question is what can Norman Osborn do that Nick Fury and Tony Stark can't? And also, with Doom and Namor teaming up before Dark Reign was arranged, you know they're going to have to turn on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or turn each other on.
Ooh!
Yes. Anyway, happy New Year's in Brent and Comic Timing, the best damn comic podcast on the net.
Aww.
Next to the Quarterbin.
Fucker. Yes, the Quarterbin, which didn't come out with an episode in 08.
Because it doesn't
didn't
exist
it?
Anymore.
I know.
No, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Did you ever put out that one that we all recorded on TalkShoe?
Will, yes, one day.
One day.
Okay.
Yes, now that just it's completely no longer irrelevant whatsoever.
Well, so you're saying we have to wait one more day for it?
I hate you. 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 I'm sorry. I thought I was doing it under my breath. My apology here.
amplify it.
I can't say I hate you enough times though, because then he won't let me go to Daily Show and that would be bad. But I agree also on the Ms. Marvel annual. Did you guys read that?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was the Spider-Man appearance with Ms. Marvel. That was good times. And Iron Man number 7. Ooh, was that the one where Spider-Man took the picture of him?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty damn good. You read that, Brandon, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you haven't read that yet?
I'm a couple of issues behind.
Okay.
Don't spoil 9 yet.
we won't spoil 9. We won't let you know that he's actually a frog. But yeah, no. When you read Invincible Iron Man number 7, you're definitely going to agree with him, because that was the Spider-Man crossover.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty good. All right, onward to Alexander B. and Raf Suhu.
I started off being pretty wrapped up in Marvel at the beginning of 08, but at the end I found myself and still find myself reading the standalone books, Captain America, Daredevil, Moon Knight, Amazing Spider-Man.
Now he sounds like private detective.
It's sort of like the noirish detective?
Yeah. Secret Invasion just left a bitter feeling. And I am not.
And I'm not myself doing anything else.
What the heck?
Marvel is starting.
Wait. Are you Rorschach or Batman now?
No, he's Batman.
Why are you trying to kill me?
Wait. I'm sorry. I can't really understand. All right. We're not going to do that. Continue.
Stop hitting me. Does it help me hear you better? Secret Invasion left a bitter feeling, and I am not putting myself through anything else Marvel is trying to hype / sell. I love Marvel and its characters, but enough is enough at some point. I may be back one day for the continuity and the core of the story universe, but for now, I am having fun checking out other things. The best character of 2008 was easily the Bucky Winter Soldier Captain America character. Screw you, Brent. What Ed Brubaker managed to do with that book, cast members, and legacy of Captain America was truly remarkable. Enough said. Suck it, Brent. Fake ass title would be
suck
amazing.
Shut him from back. All right.
Brent.
Breakout title would be Amazing Spider-Man. No one, including myself, besides Raf, expecting much from this book after one more day, but it surely surpassed my expectations, but not Raf's. And it is just fun comics with great artwork. Amazing Spider-Man also houses the best writer-artist team for two teams, the pairings of Dan Slott and Mike McCone, and Joe Kelly with Chris Bacalo.
I liked that a lot more than I thought I was going to. Kelly and Bacalo?
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah.
I liked that. Both teams work amazingly well with each other and are overlooked, in my opinion. Also, for writer/writer teams, I give kudos to Ed Brubaker and Greg Rucka on their arc in Daredevil. Braca. Right on. 2008 has good stuff, but it wasn't an amazing year.
You mean it's not Rubaker?
I'm surprised. It shouldn't be Rubaker.
Wait.
Rucka.
Rubraker? I don't know. It's sort of interesting, going with what Alexander said. It looks like he's sort of cutting back on his Marvel stuff because of Secret Invasion. I know that that's not really like the going trend, but there were plenty of people that I know that did do just that because they didn't like the idea of Skrulls in the Marvel U. But now we got this whole Dark Reign thing and a change, so you think people are going to start coming back?
It just, you know, that's how it goes. I mean, when you have a big event that is like the whole universe, either you're in it or you're not. You can't really do half-ass it. You either got to be invested and read it, at least read the main series and then read some of the minis, or you just don't read it.
I get what you're saying. Either you're in or you're out. And that's what she was talking about later on something else I'm doing. But you really could have tiptoed around Secret Invasion, honestly. I mean, you didn't have to read the main book, because the main book was nothing but 7 issues of Savage Land and 1 issue of in New York, really, if you think about it. I mean, you could have just read, you know, if you wanted to, you could have read a tie-in here and there. You could have just continued to read Avengers, because it built upon what already happened, and no new information was added from outside the book. So you really could have tiptoed around in Secret Invasion.
So you could tiptoe through the window, by the window. That's where I'll be.
Just tiptoe through the tulips with me.
Yes.
That was well done. Neither of you actually started cracking up in the middle of it, so that's well done. All right, well, let's move on to Ziggo here. I can read this one because it's nice and short. I loved the Secret Invasion. That's all I read for Marvel this year, and I thought it was great. There's only one more, so I'll read that one too. Yeah. Unknown fanboy. Wait, hold on. I gotta have at least some sort of voice here. The Stand, which is my long box of stuff to read, and Dark Tower series, which I enjoyed, is the extent of my Marvel purchases this year, except Secret Invasion, 1, which I did buy, but it did nothing for me.
What are you, Hal? Or what are you, Hal from 2001? Or are you William Shatner?
I don't know.
Oh, there it was!
Denny Crane.
Gone!
Well, I just watched the... I will not watch. I just listened to episode 99 of Half Hour Wasted the other day, you know, Captain Kirk's reaction to the new Star Trek Kirk trailer. I'm Captain Kirk!
I'm Captain Kirk!
Rock it, man. I think we're done.
There are four lights.
There's a thing on the wing. And one more time, Comic Timing is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. This month, snickety snick snicked, get yourself your Wolverine bundle pack. You got Wolverine Weapon X number 1, Wolverine Weapon X Files, Rampaging Wolverine number 1, Wolverine Anniversary, X-Men Origins Wolverine number 1, Fancy Pants Wolverine number 1, Dancing Machine Wolverine number 1, and Party Time Excellent Wolverine number 1, all in this pack. The last three I totally made up and don't actually exist. You will get them for the ultra-low price of $9, retail $20.95. So you're getting yourself 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 comics for the price of barely 3. So that is damn awesome in my book. And the Comic Timing picks of the month, Flash Rebirth, number 1. Ah, he'll save every one of us. Down. 75% off on Heroes Corner. You're only paying $1 for a $3.99 comic. Thank you, God. Captain America Comics 70th Anniversary Special. James Robinson and Marcos Martin. 50% off on Heroes Corner. Only $2. And Warren Ellis, Ignition City number 1. Also 50% off for $2 on Heroes Corner. Mature readers only. So, Raph, you can't read it. So go ahead and check that out. The Comic Timing special discount code for the month is CTROCKS, CTROCKS. All first-time users of Heroes Corner get an additional 5% off on their first order with Heroes Corner, and a great way to save on those $3.99 books, because anyway, to pay less than $3.99 is a damn good way to do it. Go ahead and check out the brand new website at heroescorner.com, easier to navigate, and still the friendliest people around, heroescorner.com. All right, people, I think we're all said and done here. So before we wrap things up, I'd like you to know that New York Comic Con 2009 is almost here. Stop on by the Jacob Javits Center February 6th through 8th and experience the East Coast's biggest and most exciting pop culture convention. The show floor plays host to the latest and greatest in comics, graphic novels, anime, manga, video games, toys, movies, and television. New York Comic Con is the second largest pop culture convention in America. And in America, and the only one that takes place in a comic book publishing, media, and licensing capital of the world. No, not Philadelphia. Suck at Philadelphia, New York.
Hey!
Special guests special guests for New York Comic Con 2009 include Adam and Andy Kubert, Brian Michael Bendis, Bruce Timm, Carmine Infantino, Jeff Johns, George Perez, Joss Whedon, Mike Diodato Jr., David Finch, Jim Lee, Matt Fraction, Neil Adams, Ian Levenstein, Raph Suhu, Juan de Jesus, Sean Whalen, Jim Seguin, and more. And don't forget, Sunday, February... Oh, really? Brandon Christopher?
Yeah.
Dude, sweet. You're going to be there all 3 days?
What's a Brandon Christopher?
All right, well, we'll find out. And don't forget, Sunday, February 8th is Kids Day. All kids 12 and under with proof of age will get in for free. Sorry, Brandon, you are not under 12. So bring the entire family to this year's New York Comic Con. For more information, visit mycomiccon.com or follow the link on the Comic Timing website. We will see you there. And don't forget, if you are a professional, you can get in early on Friday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. If not, get it at 1 like everybody else. So there you go. See you at New York Comic Con. Mr. Suhu, you've got this new thing going, don't you?
Well, I mean, the doctor said it should be
not
all right.
Not that. I was talking about Geeks Unite Network. But.
Oh, right. The Geeks Unite Network, which is a consortium of various podcasts. Really, it's just an excuse for me to do whatever the hell content I want whenever I want to. The next episode, which is actually episode 47, is going to be a recap of 2008, much like this was, except it covers a bit more broader topics. doesn't get specialized like this one did. So don't think you can just listen to my show and not listen to this one.
Well,
because
okay.
if you
I
do, son of a bitch, I will kick your ass.
I don't listen to your show in the first place, so that's fine.
Oh, well, there you go.
No one listens to your show.
Oh, no one knows you have a show.
Russell listens to my show.
Oh, yeah?
Who cool. Russell is, you will find out someday.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so episode 47 should be out soon, and then episode 48 will be sometime later, and then there will be a special sports talk show.
Which I believe I have named myself, because I'm giving it the name of my old sports talk show at Brooklyn College.
And if you want to know what it is, you'll have to tune in.
Fuck that. I'm saying it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you will soon tune into the Sporting Goods.
Yes, the Sporting Goods. That'll be the 49th. That'll be the 49th episode of the Geek Show Network. Episode 50 should be at the con itself. Yeah, and that's about it. The email address for Geek Show Network.
But thank you very much. Go to you have an actual website address now.
It's geeksunitenetwork.com.
All right, geeksunitenetwork.com, and or if you want geeksunite.libsyn.com. And Mr. Christopher, where can we not hear you?
Well, yeah, not in the quarter bit anymore. I'm actually doing a couple different things. Pretty much this holiday season gave me an awakening as to what I really want to do. So I'm going back to my roots, and I'm going to start writing again. I'm working on a novel. I'm sure I'm probably going to finish for anyone familiar with NaNoWriMo. Anyone here know that what it is?
National November Writing Month.
National Novel Writing, yeah.
National Novel. It's in November. There we go.
National November Writing Month.
You write about the month of November. Thanksgiving is not an acceptable entry.
Yeah.
Has to be in November, not Thanksgiving, which is in November.
So I'm trying to write a novel in 30 days right now. Right now it's coming along very slowly, but it's getting there. Also, I'm working on a couple of comic books at the same time as well, and I'm trying to get back to the podcast. Yeah, comic books. Yeah,
Hanukkah books
for Hanukkah.
Hanukkah books. Yeah, Hanukkah book. Yes, Hanukkah book.
Okay, that I'm looking forward to.
Comic book.
It's not pronounced. Oh. It's not pronounced Chanukah. The C is silent in Hanukkah.
It's Hanukkah.
Yeah. But wait, you're doing comic books now, really?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a while, but I'm trying to get back into it seriously. So, I've had this one idea floating around in my head for about a year now, which I'm going to start painting the rest of.
You know, you should probably contact Mr. Pryor, because he does like black people.
Oh, yes, I know, yeah. Really, he does.
Yes, yes. In fact, he is one himself.
Oh, wow.
Except for that one guy he beat down in Toys R Us with a metal pole.
That was so awesome.
That was.
Yeah.
So that's where we can find you. Nothing on the web you can link to, right?
You can probably still find me on Libsyn under the quarter bin for the first 5 episodes of that. Other than that, I'm going to be coming up with a new podcast. I'm going back to with Ramblecast, which is my first one.
Very funny, you should mention that, since the last time you were on the show, you also mentioned that, and it hasn't happened
Ramblecast?
Yet. Yeah.
Well, then the holiday hit, and you know.
Oh, the holidays in retail is a nightmare.
Yes,
believe
it is.
Me. Oh.
Yes, it is. I've never experienced it, but yes, it is.
Can I tell you a story real quick?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Black Friday. Anyone hear the news on Black Friday at Toys R Us?
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. Well, this didn't happen at my Toys R Us. Something comparable happened. All right. And if anyone knows, Black Friday is the unofficial holiday kickoff, right? And it's not really true, because most stores' holidays start off in October. And so at my store, I do the hiring. I'm the HR manager for my store. And I was severely understaffed this year. At Toys R Us, we decided to do something new. Like, in order to get your electronics product, you had to go to electronics, take the item that you want, and go back into another line. So you had to get in line to get that item that you want, get out of line again, and go back into another line.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. That was smart there. So my job was on Black Friday line control. And so when we opened up at 5 o'clock in the morning, people just ran through our store, cutting corners, cutting through the whole entire aisle just to get the electronics. We had a couple things on sale. I think we had like $9 MP3 players, video games on sale also that day as well. So they get into line, and I pull one person out of the line saying, okay, look, you got your item. You have to walk around in the back of the line, all the way down the aisle, which had wrapped around again, and get into another line so you can go check out.
and it's about like an hour and a half process. And so I'm in the RS and making sure the lines are, you know, flowing through, making sure people aren't loitering, making sure the carts are not blocking aisles. And so I asked this one lady to move her cart. And I'm like, Miss, can you please move your cart? She's like, no, why should I? I'm like, because you're blocking the aisles. People can't get through. I'm trying to make sure that no one, you know, stops in the aisles. It's like, I'm like, Miss, can you please move your cart again? It's like, no, I'm not going to move my cart. I'm going to stand right here, look at my stuff, and I'm not going to move it anywhere.
Right, did you ever rock bottom?
I wanted to.
Did you give her the Stone Cold Stunner?
I kicked her in the junk and, you know, did pile driver, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So this goes on. I'm like, Miss, can you please move your cart before I actually leave the store? It's like, no, I'm not moving my cart. I'm like, fine. So I'm like, fine, stay. Do what you want to do. I'm just going to walk away now. So I'll go out of the R zone, and our R zone set up by the right here. There's a little door which opens up. You can walk up that way. Go to the front of the line. Go to the front of the store. And as I'm walking through, the lady just walks through the door, walks through the R zone, and just pushed me on the floor with a cart, and then almost backs up and runs over again.
Ew.
Yeah.
Did you have like track marks?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
And leading to ask one favor for people who shop for the holidays on Black Friday, please, for the love of God, be nice to people who work in stores. They don't want to be there any more than you do.
And most importantly, be nice to the black man.
Yeah, we will go crazy one day. Yeah,
that's true.
We'll set it off. We will set it off.
Boy. Well, that's the craziness. Hey, just be happy that they didn't actually like run over anything important.
Like my organs.
Yeah, or you're drunk.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Well, I should be talking in a higher octave quite regularly.
Hey! I thought like my place. I'm good.
So a reminder that Mr. Christopher and I, along with Brent, will be at MegaCon this year, which is coming up pretty damn soon, February 26th to March. Actually, wait, is it February 26th or February 27th? 27th to March 1st. And we'll be there as of the 26th. So if you live in the Orlando area and you want to hang out with us, let me know. Either shoot me a PM or an email or something like that, and we'll figure something out. We will be there, and as you mentioned, New York Comic Con and everything. And Raph will actually be at New York Comic Con for one day.
Yes, I will. I'll be there Saturday at the Midtown booth from 9:30 to 2, and then after that, I'm at the table.
Sweet.
And if people have a problem with that, they can go fuck themselves.
Wow.
I hope your boss is not listening.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Raph, for the stunning bit of information there. And Mr. Christopher will be there at least one day. And I keep calling everybody by their formal names instead of their regular names, which means it must be time to end the show.
Yes.
All right. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geekspeak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Don't bother digging us on dig.com, considering that I just realized a little while ago that there no longer is a podcasting section on dig.com, so you can't.
Curse you, Captain Rose.
Yes, so there will be no digging on dig.com, but please, instead of doing that, give us some iTunes reviews on iTunes. That would be graciously appreciated. So one more time from Brandon. Nice hearing from you, man, and I will see you at New York.
Of course.
And Mr. Suhu, I will talk to you soon, probably about sports.
That is most likely going to happen.
And as always, there's always time for comics.
You should have said Jeff Yarborn, then the OJs.
They're going to fucking... yes, the OJs. They're going to stab you, and then they're going to blame it on somebody else. All right, okay.
And then steal memorabilia. And then steal memorabilia and then get charged for that, but not murder.
And go to jail for that, yeah.
All right. We're all good. I can hear you all. Everything's all well with the world. I'm counting this sucker down. And Sean will be here for like 40 minutes at this point because it's already 10:20. So, all right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Is Wood still there or is he just being very quiet?
I'm here. I'm okay. Just trying not to talk over everybody. There's 6 people. You know, I don't want to, you know, sometimes when we're on Skype and we all try and interject. I think we all blast each other out. You can't hear each other. So
I was honestly just making sure because I didn't see your reverberations at all in Skype.
Oh, I just have it on mute when I don't speak so that you don't hear me swigging my beer or yelling at the TV screen.
Excellent. Or peeing, yes.
Or, yeah.
That's my favorite moment of 11 o'clock comics, by the way. We just go, I'm peeing, brother. I
just yeah, baby.
I was getting after like the rest of us.
Meanwhile, back when Brandon was talking.
Yeah, since I'm not important.
Matt, you should go first. That's what she said.
She said. Yes, got it first. Oh, my God. That the deity started right, binding the curtain.
Hold on. All right, okay, good. Never mind. All right. Continue what you were saying, Brandon. Sorry, we had some static on the line.
I heard.
Wow, and the static came in at, like, all the wrong times there. Whose phone keeps ringing?
I think it might be just my iPhone, like, does, like, sets off my speakers every once in a while.
You might want to turn off your iPhone because that static does happen with those devices.
Yeah.
Or toss out a window.
No, don't do that. That would be bad. So, all right. So there you go.
I on Twitter for he was just begging people to come be on here.
Yes, please. Everyone talk at once because we can all hear you.
That was fun.
Isn't this the barbershop podcast?
Seriously. I mean, we need a third person in the room, man. Get your ass there. All right.
Wait, will there be spooning?
No, there will not be spooning.
No, not really. Great.
Yeah, Brandon's always going to make a joke that it was Brandon in one room and Raph and myself in the other. There were two beds, nothing bad happened. I swear to God, all right?
That door is closed.
That's what she said. All right, come on.
And after the horrible taste in my mouth from
that's what she said.
Raph, I swear to you, I'll be at New York Comic Con. I have a nice plan, man.
Okay, all right. So, meanwhile, Chris just walks into the room, okay? And she opens the door and says, are you still podcasting? I'm like, yeah. And then she says, I knew you were gay. I'm like, what? All I heard was Raph, bedroom, and sleeping.
That is what she said.
Yes.
Oh,
Brandon, please get us back on track. Please, for the love of God.
Can we just mute him for 5 minutes?
I wish I could. I seriously wish I could. Uh-oh. Please, Brandon, finish. Come on, you can do it. You can do it, man.
All right.
Victory is yours. Well played, Trebek.
If that works, I have one more then.
I'll take Schwartz for 500, Alex. Look, listen, Alex. Trebek, if you are hiding penis mightiers from me.
Sean, where did you get that marker from? I thought we searched in the way in. Yeah, I bet you people start feeling about it because it was my butt.
Yeah. My name
now
is
just officially one morning.
My name's Terry Ferguson. Yeah.
Second brand.
And yet again, you give me so much material to put in the back, man.
Brandon,
see, you guys think you have it stuck in your head. You try hearing it at least 7 or 8 times per editing session. You know?
I know.
That's why I constantly change theme songs.
Yes, I noticed.
This is great radio.
Do I sound like an old-time radio?
Next time, will they find their flights? Tune in!